All please rise. Join me in a salute to our flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call. Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Muxler.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
All present count for. Good job, Council. Okay, next up on the agenda is the public comment period. This is the time where anyone can come forward and address the Council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. If it's on tonight's agenda, you'll be asked to speak later if you'd like to. Just wave your hand, we'll get you. So this is anything that's not on the agenda, anything you'd like to address the Council. Do we have any takers? Any takers?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. It's up to you, sir.
Well, we were this close.
Welcome, sir.
Right. Like, it's very unusual for me to do this, you know.
Yes.
Like, I had to break out of my shell. Papa John's, 6072 Malloy Avenue, Malloy Adult Family Home. That's an adult with a U. At 2 points tonight. These are both, again, as usual, horizontal and vertical. Hopefully you can distinguish between the two. I did talk to the chief about the first one. Many years ago, 100 years ago or so, I was a police officer, and they put me out in traffic, and they told me to quit trafficking, so I stopped doing that, and they put me first as dispatcher jailer, and then as out on the road, and I went out on the road, and then they told me, what are you doing in the road, and I guess I missed the cruiser. I should have been out there with that, but as a consequence of being involved in traffic, I tried to help the chief with an idea that you all, going to cost you more to do this, so you need to pay close attention, because I'm sure you remember, and this is for all you back seniors back there, your students, that you remember the saying, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Well, in a stroke of genius, I decided the chief needed to have somebody like that, a new concept of forewarning all the officers, so with their forearms they could stand in the middle of the intersection and do all four directions at one time. With, of course, a new coat of arms, because that would require two more arms, obviously. So the city council needs to work on that. And then the second point is more of a food for thought kind of thing. And this is a confession, and I know this will be a shock to you, but in my lifetime I've tried very, very hard until recent years to be a straight shooter. But what I found out about straight shooting in recent years is that when you're a straight shooter, to my non-surprise, most people don't like to be shot at. So I try to remember that now, and so when I do my straight shooting, I try not to aim at anybody in particular. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else for the open comment period? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on the agenda. Council, I have the consent agenda before you.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Councilperson Olson, seconded by Councilperson Ingram. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, next person.
Yeah, I was wondering if we could move item G up to between C and D, seeing we have a lot of people that are here, I think, tonight in regards to that. Because they don't have to sit through all the public hearings, and seeing, especially seeing we've talked about changing the scope of F.
Oh, move
the Pioneer Pavilion up to after the Thornton.
What's that?
Suspend the council rules on the order of the
yeah. So you're going to right after C. So H or G moves up to right after C?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So council approval of that?
Sure.
Good, going for it. Okay, this is the project update on the Thornton Street Railroad overcrossing from Shearer Engineering. And we have some guests that I'm sure are going to come forward and speak to us. Welcome, gentlemen.
So just real quick, before us today, we have Bob Doherty and David Shearer with Shearer Design. So they're going to do a quick little kind of update on the progress that we've been making, moving along in some design alternatives. And so I'll let them go from here.
Thanks, Jim.
Use
well, I hope that's not what you're planning to build over there.
This is actually, that's a historic bridge in Skagit County.
Anyway, thank you for having us come up again. Since I was here last, we're here just to bring you an update on what we've done since we were here last. Bob Doherty is going to go over. We've looked at four different alternates for the Thornton Road overcrossing. So he's going to cover those options. At this point, we have not concluded our work, but we're bringing this information forward to the council and to the city for comments. The costs that will be presented tonight still are being resolved, but they're considered kind of ballpark costs for where things are going. So with that, I'd like to turn things over to Bob Doherty.
Thanks, David. So you should all have packets in front of you that kind of give the highlights of the project as it is to date. We've narrowed it down to two options. They turned out to be options one and four of the four that we looked at. Option one, you'll see, is a curved approach over the railroad tracks. And this gives you a general sense of where we're at. I think everyone is aware Thornton Creek is up near the arrow, or Thornton Street is up near the arrow that points to the west, horizontal on the page. The alignment will continue south, the arrow that points down the page. So these are the four options that we looked at. The curve shifted east, that's the option one that you see on your first page there. That's the alignment shifted as far to the east as possible without impacting the WashDOT right-of-way. We looked at an option two was the same curve shifted closer to the railroad. The third option is an hammerhead, very similar to the fourth option, the second option you see, option number four, the hammerhead that shifted toward the railroad. And then the option you see is number four, with the hammerhead shifted toward WashDOT right-of-way. There are several key points we looked at as we shuffled through the options. Access to Samson Rope, that's the property that you see to the north of the alignment. It will have an access through the approach fill on the east side of the railroad tracks. We looked at the bridge length and wall requirements that all affected the cost, and you'll see the two bridge lengths that we ended up with right at about 118 feet. Similar for both options you see on your pages. Impacts to private property. The third and fourth full-size sheets you guys have in your packets will show a hatched area of impacted properties that you can take a look at to see which properties are affected.
When you mean impacted, is that something we'd have to buy, or they'll just be impacted? Is this right of way we'd have to buy?
Or? It's possible, yeah. Those are properties that get impacted either by fill or direct impact from the road. Okay. That would need to be purchased or swapped in some way.
Okay.
That would be affected. Wetland impacts. Options one and four that you see here have the least wetland impacts of the four that we looked at. The two that go north and south closer to the railroad have more wetland impacts. Expandability, that's speaking to the possible expansion to the north for properties east of the railroad tracks and north of the alignment. The railroad requirements, right now we show all our options clear spanning the railroad to reduce the impact of the railroad and speed up any communication with them. Traffic flow, so that's the basis behind the two options you see here. One of them, the curved option, will allow continuous traffic flow without any reduction in speed. And the hammerhead, although it will allow continuous traffic flow, may require some slowdowns to make that tighter turn. And cost, of course. Each of these options comes with a cost. The first letter size sheet you have there has the rough construction dollars for each option as they stand currently. And so there's the picture of option one. Curved alignment, pushed toward the WashDOT right-of-way on the east. The access road that curls around in the middle of the page there is for access to Samson Rope. The reason it comes down so low is to allow access for large trucks. The reason this comes down so low as the larger radius necessary here for large trucks to access through a penetration through the approach fill into the Samson Rope property here. This is the hammerhead option. Everything west of the tracks is similar to the option one. The differences are in the hammerhead over here. It's pushed, also pushed to the what, to the east. Yes?
Mr. Doherty, maybe you're going to say this, I don't mean to, but what is the advantage of the hammerhead? It's more expensive, it's slower. What's the upside of doing that?
The option here is for expandability to the north.
That's the main.
Yeah, okay. It does open up these properties a little more also for future development. If these are zoned mixed commercial right now, mixed use commercial, so these properties could be developed in the future. But the major opportunity here is for expansion of the road to the north for these properties.
The access street, who, that seems like it's going to add an awful lot to the cost, and who's paying for that? Samson Rope?
Speak to that.
That's a very good, that's a very good question.
That is the answer.
Nobody speaks English.
Well, Samson Rope has, as we've spoken before, has already contributed about $260,000 in frontage improvement costs associated with their recent, their most recent expansion of their facilities. Those funds are right now directly paying for the work that Shearer is doing, so they are contributing to this project. The access road, it's. In order for the approach fill, which is the lowest cost alternative, to get the overpass in over the railroad, it's either that or we're building retaining walls and we have to put side access streets. In this case, we're proposing to present one access street, but we have industrial zoning to the north of the alignment, so we need to look at designing that such that we are accommodating truck traffic so that we're not somehow creating a, you know, a derogatory or a negative circumstance to those property owners to be able to operate.
Council, before we move forward, I know you're all in weird positions and not sitting in your actual seats, but if you're going to ask questions so the audience can know what they are, please grab an available microphone and get it as close to your speaking voice as you can.
I'm concerned that we're putting an awful lot of money into something that's benefiting one place.
You were just referring to the access street?
Yes.
Okay. We can certainly look at what additional costs. I don't have that number in front of me as far as what, if we were to remove that from the project, what that would.
The other option we've preliminarily looked at right now is they have a second current access right here.
Mm-hmm.
Would involve building, ramping down from the road here and ramping down into their property with walls on either side so that this property doesn't get impacted. Right now, maybe I should fast forward to this picture here. That's the last page of your handout. This shows what the access looks like and how high above the grade we are in order to get over the railroad. Right now, maybe you can't read it here, but that says 23.5 feet. That's the requirement to go over the railroad for the bottom of these girders. So we're up quite a bit, and we have to transition down to the roadway. This access here has about 16 feet of clearance to allow truck traffic through it. If I go back now here, that approach fill ramps down and hits existing ground somewhere in this region here. So we're about halfway up still at that access, okay. So we can't turn into there directly at grade. So it would need to ramp down into their property. If something like that was feasible. We've just taken a preliminary look at it and not sure if it's quite feasible yet, how far into their property it would go.
Okay, thank you. Question?
Yes.
I know at one time we as a council discussed that if we're going to do Thornton, to do it with the idea that it could easily be modified to go over the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
As it looks like the dog leg is the only one that really kind of addresses that, whereas the big curve one?
Yeah, so this one you would be able to directly access over. You'd have to modify this a bit for a bridge to land there, but it'd be easier to do this one. That's one of the pros of this approach, that it's easily expanded over the freeway, over I-5, and it's expandable to the north. The curved approach would require. We could this bridge shown right here, the curve is on a curve. We could easily build it straight, and that would mean taking out some of the approach fill, and then that alignment could continue if need be in the future, if that's, you know, 20, 30, however long, how many years down the road.
I have a quick question about property acquisition. Between 1 and 4, this bottom parcel here that says Rose City, and I guess in option 1 it doesn't have that as being acquired, and yet it looks like, yeah, so what's the difference between, why would you need to acquire it for one option? Because it looks like it's like the road is still quite close to it.
It's quite close to it, but the fill doesn't impact it here. The curve length is such that these dashed lines are the fill on the side of the road, so the fill catches before this property is impacted.
Okay.
So that's a little less acquisition. And in this case, there was a wedge here that would needed to be accessed, but we assumed for now, for planning level costing, okay, that the whole property would need to be acquired.
So with the curve, you won't need to do all that fill? Is that what you're saying?
No, we would need fill, but it would catch before it impacted that property.
Okay.
This is city right-of-way right here.
Okay. Thank you.
So one comment that I'll add, that 8.5 by 11 sheet that you have that has some of the cost options, when you see the property acquisition cost there, it's reflective of kind of these hatched areas that we're showing you tonight. Those are some rough order magnitude for some comps that we've had for either, you know, similar zoned properties. So the numbers we have are pretty well developed, I think, as far as what our right-of-way acquisition cost might be. Now, how much land is needed for either, we could also look at slope easement options or rather than full acquisition for right-of-way. So that stuff we're still kind of working on. So.
Councilperson Ingram and then Watson.
Sure.
Well, when we first started talking about this, it was more than just going over the tracks. This was going to improve Thornton all the way to Vista. Curbs, gutters, sidewalks, bike lanes, just like Church Road. Has any of that been calculated into this?
These numbers, at this point, were representative of getting through an overpass section with fill, with alternative access roads, and that transition road extending down towards the south. Now, Bob, maybe you comment on this. Do the costs that we have in front of the council members tonight represent the full length of the road improvements to the roundabout?
Yes.
I'm not talking to the roundabout. I'm talking
about... Well, I'm going to take this question, if I may, in two parts. So I just want to make sure I'm on the same page with this part real quick. Bear with me.
The answer to that part is that, yeah, the improvements include this road continuing all the way down to the roundabout.
Okay.
And it is 12-foot lanes, 5-foot shoulders, 5-foot sidewalks. So it's in full improved width.
Okay, so to complete the answer, Councilmember Ingram, that you're asking for, if we are, and some of this will come up on December 1st when I kind of bring forward a full CIP, you know, looking at Washington, those improvements from the tracks all the way to this, I mean, that's proposed. But we've got some opportunities out there for grant opportunities that we're kind of waiting on to complete that leg. But this will bring it to basically 12-foot lanes, 5-foot bike lanes, 5-foot sidewalks all through this region.
Yeah, you're going the wrong way. He's asking, asking to the west, Thornton all the way to Vista. That's what Paul's asking.
Yeah, because I'm not going to go to the voters and tell them, we're going to build this, but by the way, you still got a really crappy road from the bottom of this ramp all the way to Vista with no sidewalks for your kids to walk on and narrow lanes. And
well, we talked about that, Paul. There's no way you'd take that amount of traffic on that section of the road from Vista to Molloy now.
It just wouldn't work.
Proper thoroughfare.
Yeah.
Short answer is no. Outside of the western boundary, so no. So,
that's okay.
There you go.
We need to,
Well said. We've always said that. We have never diverted from that. But that isn't what we hired this consultant to do. That's the next phase.
Yeah. Quick question.
Yes.
You were doing some soils testing. Were there any issues with the soils in the area? I mean, are you going to? It's going to affect the cost.
I haven't been involved in any soils testing.
We haven't done any geotechnical work.
Oh, okay. Yet. I thought you were going to be able to get some core samples.
Well, that's next.
That's the next step. we're going to try to consolidate that with some of the utility corridor improvements that need to kind of come as a first step in this process.
So you know where the wetlands are, but we don't know what the soils are through that hill. Okay.
Do you want to comment?
Yeah, in terms of the geotech and soils, at this point, we did get some soils information from the Sampson Rope site, but we just had to extrapolate that and assume either comparable or worst-case foundation costs for the bridges. So at this point, it's more of a broad-brush layout. Once the alignment is selected, then that would be the next phase, is to move ahead and get the actual soil boring information.
Okay.
I think we're already there. Are there any other?
we're chatty, but.
Councilor Singer?
This cord doesn't stretch. On the option one plan, I see a radius of 375 feet, 0 inches on the curve section, but on the hammerhead, I see no radius on that very sharp curve. Is that going to be big enough for trucks? I mean, that looks like a really tight turn there for a 60-foot semi.
They'll need to slow down, but this curve, the radius here, I don't recall off the top of my head. I think it's 50 feet, and then it tapers to wider here to allow that right turn. And then the left turn, they have enough room to make it around the corner. And that's also what's driving these radius here on the access road. Actually, I think this is 100 feet, but short. A short section of 100 foot and then a taper.
Any other questions for this guest? Councilperson Goodrich?
Are you looking from council kind of to give a direction on A or 1 or 4, or is that to come down later down the road, or who's going to make the decision on 1
We're
or
always
four?
Interested in your opinion at all times.
Liar. It sounds nice.
Public Works Director, would you like to answer from here?
Certainly. There's some work. I feel a little bit more refined work that I'd like to see done. I appreciate the questions you guys have tonight because it really helps kind of me get my ideas in order as far as the access, what concerns you might have, and then we can move forward a little bit with some better cost numbers. We kind of left them fairly broad tonight just because, you know, if we're refining them, I don't want to present information that's going to mislead you on what the costs are looking like. And the numbers even tonight aren't fully represented because we don't have professional services in there or construction management. So you can throw 20% on top of the numbers that we've given you tonight to get you a better order of magnitude, in my opinion. I'd like to do a little bit more field work and polish these numbers up. I think that these are the two best options we came up with. We also want to look a little more closely at the viability of providing access to the north for those properties east of the BNSF right-of-way. I don't know how viable they are. There is potentially a creek, areas that come through there that might have some impacts. It's not my property. I'm not fully knowledgeable on what's capable of happening in those industrial zone parcels. So we want to look at some other alternatives, too, to see if what options might make sense. I'm leaning towards option one. That's my personal opinion based on what we've discussed. But it makes it a lot more expensive if we decide down the road to offer access to the northerly properties. It might mean another box culvert penetration through the earthen berm that we're about to build for $500,000. So to give you an idea, Councilmember Olson, it's about $500,000 to add that access road and that penetration through the berm. It added that much to the cost to provide that access to Sampson Road, just to give you a rough idea. So at this point, we're not requesting any council action, but we'll come back to you here probably within the next probably month or two with a little bit better information, and then we'll try to get a little more direction from you on what direction. I wanted to get past the budget because in my budget decision cards, I did have some money in there to continue into a little more in-depth design, get us closer to maybe like a 30% design. So if we get through the budget process and that's the direction you give us, then we'll start working on some better design alignments.
Can you put some like aerial photography or topography just so we can see what is to the north to try and get a feel for, I mean, because... Sure.
Trees. Grass.
Is it wetlands and creeks?
Councilperson Ingram?
Well, for Public Works Director, I tend to concur with your choice of number one. Personally, from a traffic flow standpoint, I think it's a much more cleanly done design. I don't think that we're going to have to be concerned with going over the freeway for at least another 75 to 100 years, because WSDOT's going to have to be fully infested in that thing. They're not going to give us any money until they get that thing out of the tunnel down to Seattle. So.
There won't be any gasoline by then, so it's a moot point.
Okay, any other questions for our guests? Okay, can you guys clear all your stuff in under 5 minutes?
We can.
Five minute recess here.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Good presentation. I like it.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm working on this whacked it. It gets knocked down on a regular basis.
If we cut that off,
we don't. We need that.
Honestly, well, I think we can do this.
No, Benny's talking.
I'm
probably not going to be there. I think I'm in Mount Vernon that day. When is that, Mel? Is it tomorrow?
No.
Week from tomorrow. Yeah, I'll be in Mount Vernon.
But if we have scripts for weapon mitigation
where they're buying the property,
were they supposed to completely redo the Delta?
I thought it was kind of more going in a second.
Oh, wow.
Are we going to have less water? I'm trying to understand what they're doing with the floor. If they're trying to make the Delta more, then we're going to have less water.
Well, I would think so. They're removing the levees. They're probably reducing the path that the feet force.
And that may be something we tell
them. Right, they're distributing it.
So we have more place to go.
I would think so. I would think it might help us where if you don't have something stuck in there, although it's pushing it,
that would be really going to hit it.
Because would it mean we wouldn't flood us off? Because now there's more places for the water to go. So in the summer, we would have it.
I know. So maybe they're wanting this. We'll take a de facto zero.
That would also
be like to see the hydrology.
Well, thanks, guys. See you later.
I want to also talk to Ali about the golf course that did have a heck of a time, but if somehow they missed another
The river has like an extra 2,000 acres to flow into. We shouldn't be flooding it. Neither should we. It should be all the way down. I would love to see.
Okay, we're back in session. As we discussed earlier, we're going to move item G, Pioneer Pavilion use rate staff direction for future fee code amendment. We're going to move that up to right now.
Thank you, council members. I think I'm giving just a brief introduction on this item to recap where we're at, where we need to go. The committee met last week regarding the initial kind of idea for the rates for Pioneer Pavilion. what we are seeking from you tonight are two different things. One is, we obviously, the council has not taken any official action yet in terms of direction of what you would like to see in the building. There have been discussions about various entities. There was community input on that, and it is still a council decision on what should go in our a city facility. The other aspect of that is what the costs should be for rental of that facility. Should you choose to place entities in the Pioneer Pavilion, we've discussed the Chamber of Commerce becoming an entity that will rent space in the Pioneer Pavilion. We would enter into an agreement with the Chamber for that. It would be a rental agreement that would spell out that service, including costs. There have also been discussions about several other entities, including the Ferndale Heritage Society and the Whatcom County Old Settlers Association. We would need to enter into contractual agreements with them as well related to their space. It has been discussed that those two entities not pay for the office space within the pavilion. We would not be giving them public funds because of the services they provide in the park for that space. So we would enter into a contractual agreement that spells out the services they provide to the community, to the city of Ferndale, and therefore they would get office space to assist with the service they provide within the park. The final entity that has been discussed is the Community Service Co-op. I think that what I've heard so far from committee and all that is that we don't know when we're actually going to be able to potentially surplus this building and that building. There's, at this time, probably no long-term plan to move out of here, largely because there's absolutely no funding whatsoever for the annex structure next to City Hall to move council chambers over there. With that in mind, we could simply leave them there for now. And a discussion point at committee was related to, therefore, then the use of that former Friends of the Ferndale Library space. The chamber would like that space for the visitor center. The committee discussed using that space as another meeting room. There currently it is a meeting space where there's a meeting space now, where the library used to have a meeting room. That has been planned potentially in the future for kitchen structure, but that doesn't seem like it's in the immediate future. The committee recommended that should there be a meeting space placed there where the Friends group was, that it be a $50 fee for the first 2 hours and then $25 per hour after that for use of that space. So that is one addition to the chart you'll see in your packet related to the various fees. So that, I've kind of gone on to the next part. Obviously, you need to make a decision on the entities you would like to see in there. That direction from you would then allow staff to begin writing up various contracts and rental agreements related to that space. Your other action tonight would be to provide staff direction on whether you like the proposed rates in the packet. And if you give us direction, then we will then bring to your next meeting an official fee code amendment through ordinance that adopts those initial fees.
Where were the initial fees in the packet? Were there initial fees?
Yeah, you'll see a chart that outlines
on 113
the various fee structure.
I thought this was something from the event planner.
I'm sorry.
This was actually your creation.
Yeah, that was the mayor actually built that based on research from the other various entities around the area, private establishments and all that. To be clear, obviously you whatever you adopt or whatever you direct us to adopt for rates, we can change that at any time. So if we feel that we're being competitive now and it works, we can keep them in place. If we feel like we're not attracting enough use of this space through those rates, we can modify them. So that's the pleasure of the council. And I will defer to the mayor on the rest of this.
A couple things since committee. So we've met with our IT person. We're still going to have probably a monthly bill there of about 300, was it?
To bring fiber optic, which is what all of our facilities have, to that facility, we have the wire in. To flip the switch, it's $300 a month. And that's exactly what we pay for this building. I actually did not know that cost when I heard that, so it's kind of surprising that we paid $300 for this building.
Will that be a hotspot that someone could just sit outside and
we actually probably will put in a wireless router into the building so that folks who use the structure can do that. It likely will be password protected, but it would be we probably put on the walls what the access password is. We do have a guest Wi-Fi network in City Hall in a similar fashion.
Okay.
The second one is that our building department inspectors toured the facility and did some measuring. Basically, if we have 500 people and under in that building, we're okay. If we go above that, but they would really, they recommend, Gary, you really should sprinkle the building in the future. We had the
500 people?
Yeah. So 500 and less. So that changes your thought process.
That's a lot of people, man.
Well,
is that dining or in a auditorium?
That's 500 people standing straight up, occupying the space, whatever.
Smothering.
So that adds to that expense. They'd like to see it, you know, sprinkled next week. The problem there, in terms of it's not as easy as you think. I talked to David King, support system there. We'd have to beef up the support system. You can't just hang black iron sprinklers. So that's going to be an expensive endeavor. So it's probably about a $30,000 endeavor. Again, as we look at prices, you know, all of a sudden now, I mean, we have been paying that bill. Water, sewer, heat, electricity, internet, janitor, sprinkler system repairs, and that future kitchen. We have got to basically have some sort of expenses coming out of that building. So, open discussion. I'll just go along the line because you probably all want to talk. So I'll start here and we'll just move around the circle and we'll hear your opinions for now.
I always start with.
So, Councilperson Watson.
Teacher's pet.
Because she's the lady.
That's because you're number one.
I'm no lady. I'm just curious. The committee had talked about having three different kinds of pricing for nonprofits and some kind of, like an art in the park for the Arts Commission versus a nonprofit group versus a community event. Is that an option legally, Sam?
I think it is. It can be tricky. We just what it will take is being very intelligent and tactical about how we define the various groups. How do you define a community group versus a public group and all that? Yeah. That can be difficult. The committee seemed to kind of go away from it a little bit toward the end of the session, but didn't necessarily say no, yes or no. They then kind of said, well, maybe the third column is the rental of that room rather than another defined event column or agency or organization column, I guess.
Because I'm kind of going both ways. I don't necessarily want the Arts Commission to have to pay, but I'm wondering if it's cleaner. And so the Arts Commission just knows that they have to pay.
If I could clarify, the city would not pay to use our own facility.
Okay.
The Arts Commission is part of the city of Ferndale. So
okay.
Folks seem to forget about that, especially for the Arts Commission. It was legislatively created by the city council. It's a body of the city of Ferndale. We manage all of their finances and all that stuff. So that's part of the city. They obviously would not pay for Art in the Park. That's a city event, specifically a city event.
So what if they wanted to bring a band in and charge people $10 or $15 to cover the cost of the band? It's still... they're making money on some level.
We have the ability to raise revenue for the city of Ferndale. I mean, if we for the Arts Commission especially, we 2 years ago during the first iteration of Art in the Park, they did charge a fee for folks to enter Art in the Park. To show their art, and that went directly back into their account. So for future events, so it's not as if it's not for private inurement, which is, you know, what you're not allowed to do as a nonprofit or a government. No one's personally benefiting from the funding. It's going all back into, hopefully, the programming, which we all would benefit from.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, microphones. Councilperson Hansen?
I've always felt that that building should be as wide open as possible. I would be very resistant to any additional walls or any additional permanent partitions. We talked in the committee about some portable partitions or maybe even an accordion wall to wall off the big space from the chamber when the chamber's not using it. And I think that as we get into the design of that, that's appropriate. But I think the ability to open that wide open so that the maximum of that big space can stay available to whatever groups need it very important. One of the objectives is that the rent would go back into the building for furniture, for the kinds of things that are going to get used in the building and for the maintenance of the building. It's, we're taking on a complete, correct me if I'm wrong, but the library, when it occupied the building, paid for custodial services.
You are correct.
Paid utilities and that kind of thing. Now we're taking that on as a city expense, which is in addition to the budget. We don't have the money there anyway. Therefore, my understanding, the rental rates that have been suggested include money for actually additional amenities for the building. So I'm a little bit, I think we might want to rethink the $50. If we can give, especially the room that's across from the bathrooms, if we're able to give an entity, a small group of, let's say, 10 or 12 people, and give their leader a key with the understanding that they lock it up properly and what have you, perhaps $50 for a two-hour meeting is excessive. I'm not sure you're going to get too many takers for that. So that we might want to consider that a little different.
Are you thinking along the lines of maybe even quants?
No, I'm thinking.
So let's keep our conversations as we go along the microphone, so everyone can hear what you're speaking of.
Thinking along the lines, there's a startup coin club in the community, for example, that needs a space, and that would be a possibility. Right now, they can get the library for free, so I think that may have to change as well as the time goes on, but.
Councilperson Olson, any comments? Or
I have a lot, but I'm going to pass for now.
Okay. Councilperson Ingram?
Well, I know that they'll be upset with me, but nothing new about that. I definitely want to maintain that Friends of the Library room as a conference room. I see no reason whatsoever why the chamber needs that. I know what they want it for. But that's too bad. We need it more for a conference room. That is a jewel of a space. Nice little table in there, medium-sized table in there. You could probably put, 40, 50 people in there for a conference? Easily. And I think we'd have that pretty active in that room.
I think their only concern was if they did any expansion of the visitor center, the ability to lock up whatever stuff is in the visitor center, because you are correct, is you're going to walk in that big door. We're going to be able to lock off as you come in to the left that was the library offices. We'll wall that off, but they wanted the ability to kind of lock up the visitor center stuff.
Well, that's too big for a visitor center anyway.
True.
So
they acknowledge that too.
Yeah.
They were just looking at a way to, you could certainly put visitor center stuff in the foyer. I don't know if you'd take a chance during a rented event to have brochures. I guess if somebody wanted to take maps of Ferndale while they're having a wedding, maybe that's good. I don't know.
That's good. I do think that our fee structure is fairly good. I tend to agree with Councilmember Hansen on the small conference room. I think that could be offered for free. I also tend to think that if the old settlers are in there doing an event, or Paragicides in there doing an event, I think I'd have a little bit of difficulty making them pay rent. Because if they're doing a fundraiser, that money is likely going to stay in the park. Because what else have they got to spend it on?
Well, yeah, the only reason I would argue that, that's great, but you can look is, you're not going to pay for what you need in this building by taking whatever profits in that building and putting it elsewhere.
Well, I understand.
And
that.
I could see saying 5 years or 6 years, going, look, every penny that we're in this building goes in this building. You're looking at an expensive sprinkler system. You're looking at an expensive kitchen, and our city budget, nor does our parks mitigation budget have those funds.
I understand all that, but I don't think they're going to be in there, once a year? Maybe?
Probably more than that.
And there's another expense that you haven't plugged into this thing too. If you can put 500 people in that room, what is the formula? 1 ton for 10 people of AC? One person raises the temperature of that room. One person raises the temperature of that room 1 degree per hour. So if you've got 500 people in that room for an hour, they're all going to burst into flames. But I know this for a fact because I used to manage a very large building as a volunteer manager, and we put on three huge events with 350 to 400 people in the room, and we had to go up and replace 3 AC units and triple them in size. Because
it doesn't have AC. We had a bid at one time of $15,000 to add AC.
I think that's way low.
Yeah. Quite possibly so. That's our quest to try to find income for this building. Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, first on the fees, thank you for working on that, Mayor. I don't have any strong feelings, but I know they can be changed. But what can't be changed is when we put a group in the building, try prying them out. I mean, if whatever group it is, group A, B, C, we put them in there, and that's their home. So I really want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. Full disclosure, I'm an old settler. Mayor is an old settler. Hanson's old settler. We had some Heritage people, I think. Aren't you in the Heritage?
Mm-hmm.
So we have skin in the game. Yeah, we have skin in the game. And I am, and we love these groups. And I don't know what they've done before the pavilion. They've somehow survived. So I just want to make sure. My biggest concern that I put down here is, I never really thought about weddings. I was thinking dances and concerts, but our friend that spoke with us made it sound like there's a huge need for wedding space, and that's big money. We paid $3,000 for Matt and Hannah's wedding place, or they paid for most of it. I mean, $3,000 for a backyard for a wedding place. So I know that for weddings you have to have changing rooms. You have places for the men to change and a huge place for the ladies to change. I'm sorry, it's just not the same. Men, you can put them in a closet. Ladies, they need a lot of space.
Sexist pig.
Exactly right. Exactly. So we're taking rooms and we're filling with services that I think would be changing rooms. So I would be resistant to approving any plan at all that doesn't address the needs of those types of activities that are surely going to exist. Maybe they can share space. I don't know. But I know that the Heritage Society and the Old Settlers have survived since about the time of the Earth Cool. They've been here forever. If they need the space, they need the space. But I want to make sure that we're not making a mistake here and cutting our throats because we're not going to be able to service weddings and such. Also, I want to be careful not competing against existing businesses. We have an event center. Different facility, different size. We've got private businesses that are trying to make a living. I know that I talked to John Moles a little bit. They've remodeled their... I think you cut the ribbon for that. I missed that, Joy. But we don't want to cut into and compete against people that don't have legitimate businesses that have the expenses that accompany businesses, and we, you know, taxes and things like that. So some things to think about before we all move in there and call it our own.
Okay. Councilperson Bush?
Well, Councilmember Ingram took my thunder. I was going to suggest that the visitor center be in the foyer, the entryway, and not in the conference room.
Okay.
That's all I have right now.
Okay. Councilperson Goodrich?
I'm a big fan of the chamber moving in there. I think that's a thing. Looking at those two little rooms in the back for the Heritage Society and Old Settlers, I think those are good options for them. I think, too, another thing to add to the list, I think it was on the list of one time, too, is looking for an RV dump. There, because that's one of the things to get a lot of people. If we could put the chamber there, and with Pioneer Park as an attraction, at least we have a place now for RVs to park. You know, when they come visit the chamber, so it makes it a little easier. And just to provide that service to somebody, I don't want to get into overnight RV camping here, but I think that.
No, thank you for hearing that, because that's another item we. We desperately need to remodel that parking lot.
Now, as far as the fees go, I am not as it was pointed out, I am a member of the Heritage Society. I know the old settlers do their thing. But I can't see charging the full price to Heritage and old settlers to use the building. But I'm not there to say they have it for free either. Because I know in the Heritage Society, all the money goes back into the park. That the other than any operating costs the Heritage Society has. I mean, as you've all got emails and stuff, you saw that the Heritage Society spent $9,000 putting in heaters into some of the cabins. So, you know, to say, okay, you guys can have a fundraiser in the thing, but your first $600 you make goes right back to the city. If they're only making $700 on the thing, you know. So I would like to see for the old settlers and the Heritage Society, because they put so much back into that park, that a 50% reduction. So instead of the full $600, it would be $300 for each of them for a full day on a weekend type of thing. In regards to John's comment about the weddings, they do have that... the what is now the large conference room there that the women could use. I know going through a wedding, you know, that there's a lot more stuff there. Just need to put up some temporary, some mirrors or something in there so they can, you know, make sure everything is fine. So there is that space is there now. Whether or not Councilmember Ingram gets his kitchen in the future, then maybe that's something at that time that we need to
boot somebody out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
They'll look at, if we keep the front conference room, then you still have that area, too. I'm sure those are things that we can address later on down the road. Finally, I'd like this maybe do for some of the cost, the startup cost, to do the similar thing that we did for Star Park, is open it up to the community and say, hey, you want to buy a table will cost you $35. It's the same thing we did for the pickets and other things to raise money for Star Park. I'd like to see opening it up to the community. You know, it could be Heritage Society or Old Settlers or somebody else would come through and say, hey, okay, I'll buy all the chairs. Or if you might put a little Alcoa sticker on the back or Phillips 66 sticker on them, you know, maybe they would provide something. So I think we can do some fundraising to help get that initial stuff purchased so that right now if somebody wants to rent the building, yeah, you can have the building, but we don't have any tables or chairs for you to sit on or use. So I'd like to see us, you know, maybe doing some sort of fundraising thing like that to the community
okay.
to get it going.
So we'll go another round of question for council. We'll open up the audience, and then somebody be forming a motion somehow amongst all these thought processes. Well, Councilperson Watson?
If the chamber's going to pay rent, we give the chamber LTAC money each year. So would they be giving us our LTAC money for the rent, or is there a way to not give them LTAC money and maybe just have some kind of agreement that they run the visitor center?
The clerk would love to answer that.
Request of hotel motel tax grant funding would technically be separate, completely separate from this arrangement.
Okay.
So however much they receive from us and then however much we receive back from them, that's up to them within their budget constraints. The $39,000 is technically for the visitor center aspect of it, which we're currently not providing space to. So I don't know that it's the same thing as the chamber. That's one way to look at it.
Okay.
The other way is that if we provide them a reduction in rent, you know, if it's just cheaper than with the facility they're in now, perhaps they do make a smaller request in funding from the city, or the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee, the recommendation that they make to the city council is lower. So there are a variety of options and things. I think that the person who manages that grant program, I was hoping for a reduction in funding if we can get them in here at lower cost.
Yes.
But that's not something that I control. Whatever requests they're going to make, they're going to make.
Okay.
And then it would be up to the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee to consider that request and make a request or a recommendation to you.
But the chamber is on that committee, correct?
They are.
Okay. A voting member.
And to clarify the reason why I've had that question today, state law provides for the makeup of that committee. It's got to be two people who receive grant funding, two organizations that collect the tax money, so local hotels. They're not very active in that committee, despite me trying, and then elected officials. So Folks wonder why they're on it. Well, they have to be on it because that's what state law requires. So it's currently the Heritage Society and the Chamber, and they've both been very valuable members of that committee, to be honest. But
I'm just trying to find a way to free up some of that LTAC money for some other things that we could
And it, that is an important consideration because the committee's recommendation for you has to be an up or down vote. You can't modify the recommendation.
Yeah,
that's
all
also
nothing.
In state law. So yeah. Whatever recommendation comes from, you can say no, and then we would go back to LTAC again and do that. So.
And then, but you should form the council before they think that's a very robust fund. We're looking at how much of a reduction in that fund.
We're looking at a deficit of about $26,000 based on the requests and what the projected budget is for next year. So we're going to have some very tough decisions to make this year on that grant.
Saving $26,000 already.
From last year.
Unless, is Scottish Lodge still moving forward to be a
Somebody
Motel 6? Motel 6? Or?
By mid-January, it will be Motel 6.
So that doesn't help us this year, but hopefully maybe a Motel 6 would help us, because that motel hasn't turned in a lot.
We need fewer 30-day stays.
We'll leave the light out.
Okay, Council, can we open up audience participation?
Okay.
Council, I'm looking for consensus. Can we do audience participation?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyone from the audience, like, come forward, you can just raise your hand or... Or look at each other and go, who goes first? Or
do I come up here?
Yes, welcome. Your name and where you live, and then try to limit to 3 minutes if you can.
Okay, Deanna Nielsen, and I'm a member of the Heritage Society. However, I do live down south in Mount Vernon. But we members of the Ferndale Heritage Society, year-round stewards of the cabins and the artifacts held in the cabins at the City of Ferndale's Pioneer Park, respectfully request due consideration be made in the proposed rental rates for the facility located in Pioneer Park named Pioneer Pavilion Community Center. All proceeds from any and all events hosted by the Ferndale Heritage Society are utilized for the sole purpose of maintaining the cabins, park enhancements, and associated artifacts. The Ferndale Heritage Society is a volunteer organization expending some 7,000 volunteer hours annually at Ferndale's Pioneer Park. We most recently installed the aesthetic gas furnaces in three of the cabins for an approximate expense of like $10,000. There are currently three major events held in the park, the Spring Education Program, the Old Settlers Picnic, and the Old Fashioned Christmas. We would anticipate utilizing the Pioneer Pavilion for a historical fashion show in the springtime. An estimated rental cost of $600 makes an event like this cost prohibitive. It would seem reasonable that a flat use rate could be established for our rental use of the Pioneer Pavilion Community Center. We would prefer to use this facility as it is located in the same location where all of our volunteer organization carries out its sole responsibility in the historical maintenance of the park, its cabins, and its artifacts. Thank you.
Now the cat's out of the bag. Building and code department, ignore her statement about installing furnaces in the cabins.
Doing my best.
we have a dispute on whether you should come get things inspected when we put gas appliances there.
Oh,
really no disagreement. It's the law. It's required.
Now you see what I put on
there. Linda Harkle Road, 4832 Beachway Drive. And I had laser surgery on my teeth today, so if I drool on myself, it please.
Oh, we've had that before.
I just wanted to come and talk on behalf of the Heritage Society that, yes, we really feel like we are the stewards of the park. And for fundraising events, $600 for a one-day gig, we're not going to fundraise. I mean, we don't make that much. So we're trying to keep our old-fashioned Christmas as cost-effective as we can because we're doing that for the community, for the park. So my personal feeling is, yes, we do need to contribute to that pavilion. We value that pavilion. I mean, it's a definite asset to this community. And being at the park, it's a bonus. So whatever we can do as an organization to help that, besides paying outrageous rental rates, you know we're going to be there. We'll fundraise for you. We'll do whatever we can. And on that note, in the office that we were awarded, we thank you very much. You say, what did we do before? Do you want to see my home office? But I have totes of papers. So we appreciate the space and the ability to lock some of that stuff up. And the location of the office that we did pick, we're already set up. I've talked to Gary about it. Oh, we're not supposed to talk about that yet. I'm talking about it anyway. The possibility of putting a window in there, because that whoever sits in that office can see who's coming in the park, and we have all intents and purposes. We're going to move your tour guides or be working out of our office. They've got to have access, and they can, you know, with the window there. So it's an ideal spot for the tour guides who now – they just hang out in the Parker House store, out, you know, out on the porch. So
yeah, have no place to change or anything.
No.
Yeah.
So
how do you? You had one council person that made a suggestion of the two, the Old Settlers and the Heritage, of a dropping that 50% in half.
A little steep, but in my little brain, I'm saying,
negotiating that.
You know, we talked about janitorial fees. I mean, we have no problem. We need to pay our share of the electricity and the sewer that day, you know, and janitorial. I don't, you know, we talked about all these rentals are going to have a person hired. Am I talking too long?
No, you're okay.
No, I just was shutting off.
He's asking if he can say a question. I haven't decided to let him yet.
Oh, okay. Now you lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
No, I mean, a flat fee. So we talked about somebody babysitting rentals, which I think, you know, nowadays you almost have for these big events. I don't feel we need a babysitter there, but is that being unfair to everybody else? So you're paying a janitorial service person, but...
Sam, we probably could get around that because they're stewards of the park.
I was going to say, you've trusted us before. We have keys and access, alarm codes to those buildings for 20 years, and we haven't ripped off pencils yet.
No, I think this all can be addressed perfectly through through interlocal agreements, just the same as we already have with them for the Telecom House Church, the church, and the tour guides. That's a decision of the council. Do you want to enter into that? This is the same thing with reduction in rates. They're not receiving this as a gift of public funds. They provide a service in the park. So we need to spell that out in a contract. Another way, you know, maybe another consideration, and no one's talked about this yet, but one thought was any event that maybe Old Settlers and Heritage have in their in that facility specifically, any money, maybe that facility is what they try to improve. And so maybe that's one way to do it. That could be placed within a contract to say when this specific event, maybe we list the events even. So it's this can all be determined through a contract. And so that's some discussion we still need to have, and it's at the pleasure of the council. If you agree with reduction of rates, we just need to make sure that we adopt that.
Any profit, if they had profit.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's, again, something we need to, if they like that idea, we could, it can all be put on paper. I mean, that's the message, I guess.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll listen.
So, are they already in those offices?
No.
Okay.
They just.
Because summer law, we're supposed to vote on whether to let them
have furniture in there just to make it see how it looks.
I think the excitement is palpable.
Yes.
They were just putting furniture to see how.
We talked to Sarah. We're buying some of that used furniture from the library that's going to get surplus.
I'm curious, what will you use the space for? If you're given office space.
Okay, all summer the tour guides, that's May 15 to September 15, mm-hmm. Those tour guides will be based in there.
Okay.
I have all intention of bringing files down there for our events, you know, just to have a home office down there.
But there's not room for all the outfits Louise Sager has. I mean, you wouldn't.
No. She can keep that in the closet.
Okay. Just want to clarify.
No.
You would need the entire pavilion.
Not that we don't love it.
Well, we have a committee.
We have to take the whole open space that we're going to run out for events.
Okay.
And put a second floor on it, yeah.
Okay. I guess I just want to make sure that it was used.
I'd love to come down there. I mean, the times that we've come down before, we had a desk in the headquarters building. But the shutters are always closed. And every time you come down there to work on something, you know, these people keep coming into the park. And, you know, we're missing an opportunity there to greet them, walk them in there.
My concern
is... And you missed the point. They're going to put a window in at their expense.
They're going to cut a hole in our wall?
Yes.
The same people that put the
you
gas
really
line
can
in?
You really can cut. You know, they really do cut holes in walls and make windows, you know.
We have our coordinator also, Ann Jones. She
They'll
works
probably
out
get a
of home.
For that.
So.
My concern is I don't want to see it turn into just a big storage junkie closet. I mean, it'd be nice if it was really an office space where people could come and work. You could write grants. You could have meetings. I just don't want to see it.
We put
become
a table in there, small conference table. So, yeah, we would have our small group meetings rather than heating up the whole Telecom House.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Any more questions for this guest? Councilperson Bursch and then Councilperson Goodrich?
I think this is more towards Sam.
Oh.
Instead of renting a flat fee, could you do a percentage dependent on the fundraising event? Some of the fundraisers
yes.
are just flops.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we could say, like, we take, like, 2% or...
Well, that'd be, right. Yeah, be more like the right in the interlocal said, okay, if you make a profit...
Whatever way you'd like to do it can be done.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we just it's got to be set out in a contract.
Those two entities can be a separate contract, and I don't think anyone could argue that because of what they do already.
If I could add, I think the most appropriate way to do this is to reopen the contract that we have with the Heritage Society mm-hmm. for space they already lease and then wrap this into there, too. So we have one contract that spells out the facilities they use and lease from the city of Ferndale. It's the cleanest way to do it.
When are those due to be renewed?
You adopted those in 2013, so 5 years from now.
Oh, but we could.
There's an opener clause in them, I believe, where we can mutually agree to open it.
Okay.
To add in additional space. So.
Okay, thank you.
Councilperson Goodrich?
Based off of what you just said, then, do we need to put in another thing here about the fee for the rental, or would that be in the contract for them? So in other words, so say we decide to go with the 50% reduction, so it's $300 instead of $600 that they rent it. Would that be a part of the contractual thing, or would that be something we have to put
now,
into the fee code?
When they do a motion, just for Heritage Society and Old Settlers, enter into interlocals with both those groups.
Yeah. Well, he's asking a specific question as to whether or not the reduced fee would be in the fee code itself. Probably what would be the best way to do it is we just adopt the fees within the official fee code that the public sees. Within the contract, we spell out any type of fee reduction if the council agrees to that type. So we would say they pay 25% of whatever is in the fee code.
Then when we change the fee code, we won't
correct.
Have to...
Correct. So the fee code is much more fluid than a contractual agreement.
I think
so.
It's clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we can do that, I would kind of go for that and then work out.
See, now you're moving towards forming that motion. Good job. Councilperson Ingram?
We do have two public hearings.
Is this a public hearing?
No, we have two of them.
He's
trying to
just
move me along.
I know, so am I. In that vein, I will make a motion that we enter into a local interlocal agreement with the Heritage Society and the Whatcom County Old Settlers Association for their use of Pioneer Pavilion.
Do you have any questions related to...
And?
Adopt the rest of the fee code as printed.
Because we could do it all in one vote.
Oh, okay. Adopt the rest of the fee code as presented. And
Chamber?
You can have a question any time. Okay, but let's
now it's back on the floor.
Yeah. Did you second it?
I seconded.
Okay. Okay, so Councilperson Ingram made the motion. Councilperson Hansen seconded. You have a question about his motion?
Does the motion include any type of fee reduction related to rental rates or that
interlocal? In my personal opinion, I will leave that to staff.
Okay.
If it's legal to do that.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because I think you're probably going to be a little...
I honestly would hate to have that responsibility placed on me. So if you could give me...
Well, then I would give you the direction of the fees for the Heritage Society and the Whatcom County Old Settlers Association within that interlocal agreement would be
$200. Okay. Per event?
Not a reduction of $200, but the fee would be
$200. Per event?
Per event.
And our percentage? You wanted... You got your motion, so now we're stuck with your motion.
Is that agreed to by general consent?
Is that agreed to by general consent?
Of what?
Because you changed your motion a little bit.
Because you change it from... Because you've added a specific amount for those two groups.
Is that okay?
I don't hear any argument, so it sounds like it's in the motion.
Okay. I would rather... Well...
No, go ahead.
Now you can everyone can speak.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I would rather just have a percentage of whatever they raise, assuming it's...
Rather than a
flat $200.
Okay, so I think Councilperson Hansen could add an amendment. Councilperson Hansen?
Well, yeah, I could, but I'm going to point out the fallacy of what Paul just did. His intentions are right, but that means that for 3 hours or less during the week, they're going to pay $200. And right now it's listed as $150. For 3 hours or less, it's listed in the weekend. It's currently listed at $200. It would remain $200.
Can I withdraw that amendment?
I think we ought to leave that out of this motion. And we talk about negotiation parameters either in another meeting or another time.
Well, you're going to bring the interlocals back to us anyway, aren't you?
Is there any objection just removing that for now? Because I think that's a good idea. We've worked on that.
I just removed that for now. Totally.
Okay. Okay.
Give us some more time to think about that. Look.
Okay. Councilperson Olson and then Councilperson Goodrich.
This is a perfect example of why are we rushing this? This should have been talked about or even maybe perhaps a work session.
Well, because I think some of them, they want to use it. I mean, you want to use it for old-fashioned Christmas.
They want December 6th.
That's December.
That's next month.
It's 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks.
No.
2 weeks.
I'm hearing
two.
No.
Oh.
Don't you?
Oh, you're not?
We have a request to do.
Are you sure?
This is the park.
Oh.
We don't use the pavilion for that.
We had a request for the...
restrooms, yes.
No, you...
The meeting room.
You had a request for the meeting room.
Somebody wanted the meeting room.
Yeah.
I think that was for last week at the event, which we didn't have, so we didn't use
Bizarre. Okay.
That was bizarre.
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
That's...
We
okay.
We've already passed that for a drink or move forward.
We've got
time. Okay, so we do have time. But, I mean, we are getting people, I mean, you want to start building that calendar. But I think essentially, though,
there's
you could vote...
so many unanswered questions.
What's that? Okay.
There's so many unanswered questions.
We would like to see you have a vote because we're going to write leases for the chamber and for the Heritage Society and yeah, for that motion. But and that they want to move in January 1st. Okay. But I don't want to table this forever. Councilperson Goodrich.
We could do 2 minutes.
I'd like to make an amendment to Councilmember Ingram's motion. And that is to include the rental of the space to Chamber and Old Settlers Heritage Society. Space is defined.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think any of that was included in your original motion.
The Chamber is not included in my original motion because I was going to make that as a separate motion.
So we just need a second on the motion.
Second on Councilperson Goodrich's motion?
Second.
Okay.
Second.
Further discussion?
Because then now it's all together.
Yes.
Yeah, that's now, what I, that
now,
was the idea.
Now we've formed it all together.
Okay, well, then I would recommend that if we're going to include the Chamber on this vote, that we give the Chamber of Commerce only the space to the left of the entrance as you come in the main doors. That the Friends of the Ferndale Library space is not included in their space.
And then would you amend that to say the foyer can be used for the visitor information?
They've got plenty of room inside that left-hand office complex back there for the visitors.
Yeah, it's not going to be walled, though.
No, there's going to be walls taken out of there.
No,
so
no
not the foyer?
No.
You've got two offices back there.
Yeah, their desire is not to take down walls. Theirs is to wall that in.
That's stupid. That's just downright dumb. They got two offices in there with closable doors. Everything else in there could be opened up. And that would be twice the size of the current visitor center.
Which has a much lower occupancy. Now, time out. You're walling off, but you don't have ceilings right now.
I didn't know we were walling off.
Yeah,
you're trying to say I have to sprinkle that section?
I'm saying that it might be presumptive of the use in there before we can figure out the sprinkler concerns completely.
We could still but
well, we're not discussing the sprinkler concerns right now.
May I suggest a way out of this for right now?
Please.
Besides just shooting myself.
Take the original motion or the amendment that's been seconded, vote on that part of it, and vote on the final amendment. A lease with the chamber is going to be a negotiable thing. That's going to have to be presented to the council sometime before they move in. And if we don't like the terms of it, we can alter it at that point.
Bring the terms to the committee.
Very good. Okay, so there's an amendment on the floor. The amendment on the floor is to add those entities. So further discussion on that? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I will be abstaining.
Okay. Motion carries 6 with 1 abstention. Okay, the main motion. Everyone understand the main motion?
No.
Not really.
I don't know what the main motion is.
Okay.
The main motion is
thank
to
you.
Enter...
with the event.
The main motion is to enter into interlocal or rental agreements with the Ferndale Heritage Society, the Whatcom Old Settlers Association, and the Ferndale Chamber of Commerce for space in the Pine Pavilion, as well as adopt or direct staff to bring forward a fee code amendment as presented.
Well, you cleaned that up really nicely.
That's what you paid the big bucks for. That's the person
that's, left. That's exactly what we've said.
I have an odd city clerk question. Is there a conflict of interest when more than half of us
are? Every single one of you.
Every single one of you. Yes.
Except for Councilmember Watson and Olson.
Help us out here.
I personally believe you should all recuse yourself and they should be voting on it, but
actually, I don't know how you avoid this.
You've got four people that have conflicts of interest, and when the conflict of interest puts you below a quorum, all are gathered back in.
That is true.
And I'm a member of the chamber, too.
Thank you, Mr. Parliamentarian.
But you also don't need you don't need four people per state law to vote on this very basic thing. You only need it for ordinances. So
only the regardless of what you want to do today.
Only the abstainer and one other gets to vote?
I
really appreciate Mel Brown's chamber.
I love that. Yes, that's our one obsession.
I sit on the board of the chamber.
You're going against the vote.
This is a small city. It's unavoidable.
All right. We're still going to put this to a vote. You're going to be brave enough to vote.
So I pretty much like it. I just don't know if I got my main question answered. We're providing rooms. Is there a place for people to change for weddings? Is that what the room to the right is?
Yes, the large.
They could use the large conference room. They'd have to kind of cover the doors or something.
You need two places, so the large conference room to the right.
They got to put a blanket down the middle, and they have to be really comfortable.
I don't know. I'm getting interrupted a lot here. Let's finish here, and I'll be done. Weddings need that if that's something you're going to do. You need a place for the men and the women. Do we have that in this configuration?
Yes.
I don't really care what it is, but as long as we have it.
Yes. Well, you could use the main conference room for the ladies.
That's the one.
And then
on the
guys
right.
would be way yes. more casual. In the back corner by the slide-up door, we need to build a space that holds the tables and chairs. Yes,
right.
And then when you move those out for a wedding,
Gary,
you have a very casual place
Gary,
to change.
It's going
to
be probably years down the road before we have a kitchen, and you could use that small conference room for the guys.
Right. Yeah, I would think, I think probably even a wedding is probably going to use that room for something. We'll work it out.
If they're really concerned about it, let them rent the telephone.
Or they could bring a motor home.
There you go.
They could undress outside. I don't know. We have a public hearing moving up. Okay. So everyone understand what we're going to vote on in the main motion. Everybody
sure.
got it? Yes, I can tell you've got it. Councilperson Bush is right with me. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Another abstain.
Okay, fine. Heck with you.
I knew it.
Okay, great. So all of you that wanted to talk, you don't get to talk because we're all got it covered. I think we know where we're going. Okay, moving on. Public hearing on CEPR requirements revision ordinance. Troublemaker, get out of here. That's your problem.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Everyone clear the room.
Not yet. 8 o'clock, sorry.
Good job. You're not leaving till we leave.
Boy, are you a dreamer. You've been in the sunshine.
Come on, we'll get with it. We'll get
for the room to clear a little bit.
Let her rip.
All right, Haley, where are we? Are we on?
We're lost. We're in the public. We're on the public hearing on the CPA requirements revision order.
So.
Quiet back there.
I have a cold, so sorry if I sound a little bit stuffy during this. But so this is a public hearing for a zoning text amendment, and staff is recommending amending the Ferndale Municipal Code, Chapter 16.04, Environmental Policy. Specifically to raise exemption levels for certain environmental reviews currently subject to the State Environmental Policy Act. So this amendment would rise to the maximum level for all construction types except for multifamily projects, and staff is proposing to raise up to 30 units for multifamily projects and not the maximum allowed, which is 60 units. So Planning Commission has recommended approval of these proposed changes, and just to give you a tiny bit of background on the State Environmental Policy Act, it was enacted in 1971, and at the time, the CEPA checklist was really the only tool for jurisdictions to review all environmental elements of a project proposal.
since the checklist was created, their regulations have sort of grown up around the checklist, such as the Ferndale Municipal Code, the development standards, stormwater regulations, and building codes. So those have evolved around the CEPA checklist, so now that there are some redundancies in staff review of projects that come through. So the Washington State Legislature has recognized this redundancy in reviews and has authorized local jurisdictions to raise up to the maximum threshold levels so long as they follow the procedure that's listed on page 2 of the staff report. So staff has reached completing that procedure, so we can raise up to the proposed levels. And the ordinance that we're proposing is attached as Exhibit 1. And then Exhibit 2, I provided a table that shows our current Ferndale exemption levels with the proposed levels compared to the Department of Ecology maximum levels.
So. Public hearing, so technical questions, not opinions. Councilperson Watson.
I noticed in here that you're going to be the person reporting to the Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation. I'm just curious how much that would add to your workload.
It's really just checking in with them, sending them reports that we receive for projects. So if we receive an archaeological report, I just go ahead and forward it to them.
Okay.
And I really only contact them if we're updating the list of employees who access the database that they're sharing with us. Okay. So it's very minimal.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Any other technical questions? Okay, seeing none. This is a public hearing. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in the decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who have signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you'll be given the opportunity to address the council once we've got through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name, address for the record, and be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on issue, we will encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. This speech also will apply to the public hearing directly after this one, so I'll only say it once. So at 7:26:54, I'm opening the public hearing. Would anyone for the public like to rush forward and speak on this amazingly interesting issue? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public hearing at 7:27:09. Waiting for council action, Councilperson Goodrich.
I make a motion that we accept the ordinance as presented by staff.
Second.
Moved and seconded by Councilperson Birch. Councilperson Mutchler.
I like this very much because it raises the thresholds for development and stuff. My only concern is, it's not a deal killer for me, but I'd like to ask council to consider that we would raise the multifamily from 30 to 60, which is the Department of Ecology allows us to do that. Mm-hmm. I listened very carefully to staff report, and we're a lean city. We're a city that's business friendly. We try to do everything we can to help these types of things. I'm not sure why we would want to have a higher standard and threshold than the Department of Ecology on the multifamily. So I'd like to make an amendment, a motion to amend the main motion to adopt the maximum levels, so it'll go from 30 to 60, and that's page 80 of your staff report. So,
why did we go to 30?
We need a second
before we discuss this.
In order for it to end up in discussion.
Do I have a second for this?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you second? Okay, seconded by Councilperson Hansen. Now, so you're questioning the staff of...
I was just wondering, why did staff pick 30 instead of going directly to the 60 in the first place?
We proposed 30 units as opposed to 60 units because we felt it was more proportionate to Ferndale and its size. And within the last 4 years, we've received no permits for multifamily developments over 4 units, so we think that 30 units is kind of a big deal in Ferndale.
Well, we've got one kind of sort of underway now that's got...
44.
Yeah, it's like 48? Yeah, 11 fourplexes.
Where's that?
On Main Street. So, and we've got the other guy that had the proposal for 100-unit place down on Cherry Street. I think his finances is kind of shaky because he hasn't gone forward with it. But
Community Development Director, would you like to answer?
That is correct as far as the overall number of units, not the per building development. I think that it's really a psychological question for council, where if the council did increase it up to the full 60 as authorized by the state, and because we are a lean city, the public comment opportunities for those larger units would really pretty much be zeroed out as far as the overall official public comment part of the discussion. So the question is back to council. If you feel okay that for a 60-unit development, the public would not have the formal ability to comment.
So now you're talking 60 units in one building?
Or a development that cumulatively does have the 60 units.
60 single family.
Mm-hmm. Councilperson Hanson?
I think I'm uncomfortable pointing clear out to the maximum. I'll tell you why. In the community of Ferndale, if we have a 50 or 60 building or apartment complex, that thing's going to have an impact on somebody. And it wouldn't have as much of an impact in Everett or Edmonds or Seattle, but boy, in Ferndale, and I'm keying in on what was just said about a proportional to Ferndale. Anything above 30 is going to be an impact. Why wouldn't we want people to have at least the opportunity to comment on that through a CEPA report? Because it will have an impact. It certainly has an impact on streets. I think I'm not going to support the motion.
Okay. Councilperson Olson?
You already didn't also the Planning Commission discuss this and again, 1 in 30?
Correct.
Okay. Councilperson Watson?
Actually, I have a question about the main motion, so I'll wait.
Okay. So on the amendment, any further discussion on the amendment? Okay, voting on the amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion fails. On the main motion, would you like to ask your question now then?
I guess so if someone was going to construct a parking lot that had 90 spaces, they won't have to do SEPA now. Is that how I'm reading it? So if someone wanted to just build a parking lot?
Good question.
Because it's separate here. This isn't parking lot as in addition to anything else. Like parking lot is part of a
Haley,
development.
Do you want to answer that? That's a very good question.
No, she wants yours.
Yeah. She's looking at you going, that's a very good question. I hadn't thought of that question. Very good.
Page 69. The construction of a parking lot would require that there be a primary use. Now, if their primary use is for a park and ride or something like that, that's allowed in certain zones, and yes, this would eliminate the SEPA review for that. Again, part of our overall conversation, and it leads back to Councilmember Olson's point, is that staff believes that the environmental impacts of these can be addressed separate from the comment period through SEPA, because we have our stormwater ordinance, we have our landscaping standards for parking lots, we have a variety of other things where we feel that the impacts can be addressed. It's the question of whether or not we feel it's appropriate for other outside agencies to also tell us what we believe we already know, and for the general public to comment on the use question, which is different from the impact question. The use is resolved already through zoning, whereas the environmental impacts are what we're getting at here.
I guess my concern is, it does say automobiles, and so if someone wanted to just put a big chunk of concrete down where trucks could park all night, 90 trucks could park all night, that's not something they could do without people being allowed to say something. Because if someone suddenly put that next to your house and there were trucks running all night, I mean, 90 automobiles is probably just a day use thing. But when you say automobiles, does that legally mean just automobiles, not trucks?
I think that to answer that question, I would tell you that in order to construct parking lot for 90 automobiles or probably for 20 automobiles, you're also going to need to get a land disturbance permit. You're probably going to need to get an encroachment permit. You might need to get a building permit. You might need a site plan review. And most of those, especially the land disturbance permit and the encroachment, say, what's your ultimate project? So if you're just paving, we're going to say, well, why the heck are you just paving in of a size that could handle 90 automobiles? Well, I want to put a parking lot. Time out. No, you need to get your project approved through zoning and through the other different things.
But would the neighbors know about that? Because I know you've got the new system online where people can find out about things, but it's not the same as having that nice sign up there.
I can't say that the neighbors would necessarily know about that, but I would be curious what, if you could provide me a scenario where this would happen.
Something place on Porta Way where someone has some land and the semi-trucks always need a place to park. So let's say you decided you were going to charge them $5 a night to
next
park.
Next to Walgreens?
Yes, where they're parking now.
What you're
but
talking...
But if all those nice homes are there and someone just had some land they can't seem to do much else with and they decided that, you know, for the next 5 years I'm just like the $2 parking guy. Because the semis obviously need some place to go, but...
If we saw something like that, we would say, hold it, you have now created a commercial parking lot or a commercial park and ride. Yes, possibly they could do it over the weekend. That doesn't mean that there would not be enforcement against them where we would say, you need to now permit this. And there are only a few places, as we went through with the park and ride guy, in the city of Ferndale where you can just put in a parking lot.
I guess it confused me because it's all by itself. It's not talking about parking lot is part of, all these other ones are talking about adding parking along with something, but that's just kind of, boom, parking lot by itself.
I have the clerk for that ask a question of the community development director, and Councilperson Olson has a question.
Yuri, I'm just trying to speed this along a little bit. If there's concern from council on the 90, would it be appropriate to maybe add in a parenthetical or not like a comment section that says exclusive, except for park and ride establishments?
No, I would not think that that would be appropriate.
Okay.
At this point, just because these are directly from the categorical exemptions identified by the state, so I would want to look at it more to see whether or not we are switching the meaning that was intended.
So that's the problem with when we're directed by allowance of state law, we have to stick with it.
Because you can't add another phrase in there because state law doesn't have that phrase.
Could you modify that threshold downward from away from 90?
The council certainly could, because the CEPA review that we did is basically from where we are now at 20, correct, Haley, all the way up to 90. So you can work within those thresholds if you want.
The question is if this actually would be something that...
And still not affect the unit number because you're talking parking?
The construction of a parking lot designed for entering your number between 20 and 90 automobiles is something that council could do. Council could not...
Yeah, that wouldn't affect any of the other stuff.
How much does parking, this would impact a building, though, because you have a building of a certain size.
No, that's in section 4 for the office buildings.
I guess what in my head I'm thinking is, okay, you're exempted from it thanks to section 4, but then all of a sudden you still got triggered for it because of the parking threshold if we lowered it. That would be the concern.
You can trigger each one of these individually.
Yeah. So if you reduce it too far, you might still end up forcing them triggered on a 30,000 square foot.
So if I was trying to prevent people from putting a huge park and ride for 90 automobiles or trucks or something, you're saying that I'm also affecting section 4 for office space?
That's what I'm wondering. So say there's an office building that's 20,000 square feet, but they happen to have 60 spots and you want to go down to 50. Now that structure still will have to do notification, even though it wouldn't have otherwise.
Because it seems like they're subject, because Section 4 is construction of an office, school, whatever, with an associated parking facilities. Section 5 seems to me is just a construction of a standalone parking lot.
Well, I think that we need to remember, again, that this is in order to trigger comments related to SEPA. It doesn't change anything as far as the land use.
I do want people to be able to comment. You know, why don't I just make a motion and see if anyone else cares? I mean, because I'm sitting here. I mean,
would you like to move to amend?
Let's have Councilperson Olson make a comment, and then you can make a motion.
This kind of came up. We're not doing away with the little signs that she was talking about. One of the three of us asked, and we were told those little signs would still be there, so you'll see if something's going on in that particular area.
We're not proposing changing the signs that are put up there. We're just proposing that there would not be a SEPA comment period.
Right.
Correct. Now, and that doesn't mean that absolutely every land use action
requires a sign be put up.
Is that the case now?
We don't put them up for single-family residences. We don't put them up for tenant improvements.
Okay. With what we have now and what you're proposing, what would the sign difference
be? There would be no change in the signage. In fact, I believe we would be, Haley, would we be increasing the signage for multifamily?
Yeah, we'd be proposing to have multifamilies post the sign, and they're not required to right now.
We asked about the signs that we covered.
The issue, though, is that if we don't have SEPA, then you can put up the signs, but without SEPA, people cannot comment.
They can still let us know that there's a concern. We're not going to hang up on them. I mean, we want to...
They can also appeal.
They can also appeal.
But public notification.
But now there's a cost.
There's always a cost with an appeal.
But when you have SEPA, people, I feel like if it's part of the SEPA process, I feel like people have more power to perhaps change what you're thinking
there's
about
a formal, doing. There's a formal way for them to
yes, as opposed to not having SEPA where it's just, I'm unhappy with this, and you say, well, sorry. Just
do you have a, did you want to see about a motion on that?
Yeah, I wanted to see if anyone else is. I'd like to move to amend the main motion for Section 5 to change the 90 back down to 20.
Second. Second by Councilperson Ingram. Further discussion? Councilperson Goodrich?
I can see your intent, but I really have no idea how to vote on that. Because, you know, I don't know if it really is going to make a difference. Well, I haven't heard anything to really tell me why we should lower it back down or what impact keeping it 90 is really going to do. So I'm thoroughly confused if somebody could help me.
I mean, for me, it's I don't want a standalone parking lot to be put next to somebody without them having some sort of say. I really am concerned about some
huge...
But
seems to me, if you're paving an area big enough for 90 cars, you're probably going to trigger something else. You have to have some sort of structure or something.
Are we?
Not necessarily.
That's my concern.
Not a giant opportunity for locked-in comment. Councilperson Ingram and then Mutchler?
Well, the concern here is the fact that we've got several residential areas that butt up against mixed-use areas and commercial zones and stuff. And if you've got a nice house, one of these developments out here on Portal Way, for instance, and you spend a lot of money on that thing, and if somebody came in there because the land next to you is zoned mixed-use commercial and decides to say, well, yeah, I'm tired of seeing all these semis parked along Main Street and then the gravel dirt over by Thrive Fitness and I'm just going to put in a great big giant paved lot and I'm going to tell them, you can park your semi here for $5 a night. And if you don't have a way to protest that as a homeowner, they can come in there and do it and you can put down a lot of pavement in a three-day weekend. And next thing you know, you've got trucks running all night next to your house. That's the concern. If we keep it down at 20, it has to trigger. If they're going to put something bigger than that in, it's got to go through the secret process. So,
Councilperson Mutchler?
Mm-hmm. Let me bring an illustration. We just passed a 502 marijuana ordinance, and so people can construct marijuana, processing glory, and one retail without a public hearing, without, I mean, it's if it's zoned. We've zoned for certain activities. If it's zoned for a parking lot, it's not next to homes, it doesn't make any sense for me to want to add a public hearing to that. I mean, you could go through a huge list of businesses that you want public hearings for using this type of methodology here. So I can't support it for that reason and for other reasons. If it's zoned to have a parking lot, why are we second-guessing that in the first place?
I guess my issue is not just a parking lot where people would park. If you had trucks that ran all night, or RVs that ran all night.
But it would be in the zone. If it's zoned for that, why would we care?
And marijuana doesn't go all night with all kinds of noise.
Okay, our community development director has a comment on this line.
A little bit of an explanation about the SEPA process. There is no public hearing. It is only associated with the environmental impacts, where this will not deny a project. All that this is they fill out a checklist that has 16 different elements, utilities, public services, where it's talking about what they do.
They say in the checklist what sort of impacts they expect to have. The city looks at that checklist, and we distribute it out to the public through the publication, the Record Journal, and posting at the City Hall, Brenner Public Library, and the site. Goes out to agencies, and everybody says, okay, is there a significant adverse environmental impact as a result of this project? If so, there are mitigation measures that are identified. If those can't be mitigated, it turns into an environmental impact statement. In my experience at the city, I have seen probably a half dozen SEPAs that really had mitigating conditions separate from our code. In other words, there are only 5 meaningful SEPAs I have seen in the 7 years that I've been here. The rest we can handle through code, and that's why we're proposing this. My personal feeling is that I don't believe that we would see some of the scenarios that we're talking about that we couldn't handle through our enforcement process. I really, truly believe that.
Okay, you have the amendment before you. Let's go roll call, though, just because I don't know how this vote's going to go, so we'll keep track.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to vote on the amendment, and we're all aware of the amendment?
On the amendments to change Section 5 back from 90 to down to 20, Councilmember Watson?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
No.
Councilmember Olson?
No.
Councilmember Ingram?
Aye.
Councilmember Mutchler?
No.
Councilmember Mutchler?
No.
Councilmember Birch?
No.
Councilmember Goodrich?
No.
Okay, so the amendment fails. The main motion, any further discussion on that? Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you.
We can always tweak this as we need to.
Thank you, Council. Sure. It was very orderly. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, let's do our second public hearing on the property tax. Who wants to present that? Finance Director.
Yes, Council members and staff, before you, we've got two draft ordinances, one at 1% increase for property tax, one's at 2%. In your packet also shows a spreadsheet showing 3%, and then also lastly, if you were to take all the bank capacity, your maximum that you could take. Let me just talk about certain cost elements, certain expenses that we're looking at next year in terms of increases. If the fire district comes through with their normal really high percent increases, I laid in 3% increase for fire district. That's over $40,000 just in the fire district. Let's talk about wages. Two of our bargaining units have settled 2.5% wages on one unit, generally 2% wages on the non-reps. Let's talk about medical insurance. 3% and 4% increases. Dental's up 8%. Retirement is up 22% beginning in July. So those are some examples of cost increases that we either have settled or we won't have any control over. So I'll leave it to you on what you want to do on property tax. Thank you.
So you have two options before you. It's pretty simple. One is 1%, one is 2%.
Public hearing, correct?
Public hearing, so any more technical questions before we go to the public hearing? No? Okay, I'll open the public hearing at 7:48:19. Anyone from the public like to come forward and speak about this issue? Anyone?
Bueller.
Okay, 7:48:33.
Wow.
Close the public hearing, and now it is in your capable hands to decide one or two. And that's not a bathroom designation.
Only a
well, now I'm done for the
only
rest of the night.
No, that's a kindergarten teacher. Councilperson Hanson.
I'm going to throw it on the floor by making a motion that it be a 1% increase in the city's budget, not a 1% increase in taxes.
Actually, the paper has done a better job of describing.
You are correct. I agree.
Can I add to that? The present paper does a better job as opposed to the reporter that used to try to make us look bad in the past.
How dare you!
Sorry.
For the record, I worked very hard with this reporter to make sure that this occurred, to make up for my past transgressions, all right? So.
Yeah, you're guilty as charged. Okay, it's been moved and seconded by Councilperson Ingram.
I'd like to speak to it. My annual speech, which is also, and it has to do with the most conservative guy I know. I'm trying to speak into it. And that's Tim Iman. And we all know who Tim Iman is. He projects out and does things like lowers the property tax allotment that cities could have from 6% to 1%. So here's a guy that hates taxes. Absolutely, every time you turn around, he's got something, an initiative on the ballot regarding taxes to lower them. And he, in the initiative, chose 1% for cities to be able to increase their budget. Well, if it's good for Tim Iman, it's good for me.
Thank you for sharing.
That was very well said. Any more comments from council members? Okay, you have
one. I just want to add, Tim Iman also did support bank capacity.
Yes, throwing it out. You are correct.
Okay. That's where the 2% comes in. Yep.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, before you is a motion and a second for a 1% property tax increase. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries 7-0. Council, I want to move, because they've been very polite and they're sitting in those comfortable chairs, and I move Central City Water Association.
The last thing I've done,
No.
Budget decision cards.
This is the budget decision cards.
Do we have
so,
to? No, that's why we put it last.
Central City up. I'll recluse myself from the meeting, and I'm transferring the gavel to the Mayor Pro Tem, Councilman Kristen Watson.
And I apologize to the Central City, but I didn't realize they were actually sitting there. My apologies. Sit there quietly if you can.
Not a chance.
All right.
This is an opportunity to have.
Okay.
Well, good evening. I'll basically do most of this presentation. We have a couple folks from the Water Association here with us today. I think I'll do the best I can to kind of give a quick recap. I think some of this has been will be pretty straightforward. So, back in May, a transfer agreement was entered into to basically start the process and memorialize the process of the orderly takeover. I hate that's a very harsh word, but the merger of the Central City Water Association with the City of Ferndale. Since that time, an application was also made and approved by council to move forward with applying to the State Revolving Fund for an opportunity to fund some needed improvements to that system to bring it up to current city standards. That application was made for about $2.27 million. Since that time, and to bring you up to date today, that application has been approved. Just today we actually found out that the state is offering a subsidy, which initially we were denied a subsidy. There were none available, but to our benefit and to the Central City's benefit, some folks have been unable to successfully move forward with funding their projects, so we moved up the order a little bit. So right now we're looking at an opportunity of that $2.27 million, about $738,000 of that will be forgiven upon completion of the project. So that's very good news. About 35% of the total project will be refunded. The maximum, just for clarity, is 50% that can be forgiven, which was our goal. And I know Greg did a great job of bringing this up once before, a few weeks back, to kind of bring you up to date with that. So right now, we are in a position where the State Health Department is waiting for us to respond. The city takes the lead in these situations as far as the application goes. And so moving forward, most of this responsibility of making these improvements will fall to the city to help administer. So what we would look for is some direction. At this point, we need direction to basically accept the offer as it is proposed right now. It is a conditional offer. There's a long list of conditions, obviously, that come with any money that we borrow from the state, especially that which is subsidized, to basically allow us to go forward with this project. We would need council approval tonight to basically direct staff to basically accept the loan offer, the conditional loan offer, and move forward. There's two agreements that will take place, and I'll certainly field some questions about that. One is with the health department itself, an agreement for the loan, and then amendment would probably have to take place to the transfer agreement to kind of memorialize some type of a repayment structure from the roughly 120 customers for Central City that would be directly assisting to repay that loan debt. So with that, unless there's any other questions.
I don't have a question.
No.
I have a statement.
Okay.
It's my understanding from reading the documents that the city will be protected. For example, if there will be an assessment of their membership, they've agreed to that. If that assessment is not paid by one of their membership, we have the ability to shut their water off.
Correct.
Because of those protections, I'm going to move that we accept staff recommendation.
All right, moved and seconded. Councilmember Olson, you did have a comment or question?
I'm not sure if you were here then. When this first came up, we wanted to know what our liability would be. And it sounds like now the city's applying for the loan?
Well, initially, and I was here as my first week, so I didn't say anything. But Greg did most of the talking.
Well, we can ask him if you'd like.
No.
Oh.
we passed that. What we had proposed that time was we needed, and it moved pretty quickly because it came forward at Dave Olson was helping the Water Association, and he came forward and said, we need to get this in right away if we want an opportunity to be able to build in 2016. So council approved the decision to apply.
Right.
I feel like there's enough protections in the transfer agreement. It's a phased agreement with the association that clearly spells out that the association is responsible to repay whatever that loan debt is.
And if they default?
Well, if they default, we shut the water off. In essence, they'll become our customer as soon as we have some meter switchovers to do. There's an interim step here that's going to happen that we're still working on with the district, or not the district, should be the association, on how that's going to take place and when as far as the schedule goes. But getting them on our metered system, and we'll start reading their meters at a certain point here while we go into design and move things forward.
I'm still not hearing the answer to my question. If they don't pay, the state's going to go after who? Us?
Yeah.
Us, okay. That is not how I remember it when we first started this thing, that we wouldn't have any liability if they defaulted.
Greg, do you want to step in?
Initially, we weren't sure where they were going to get the money from. There's various funding sources out there that are on biennials, and they have their funding cycles. So when we talked to Central City about acquiring their system, they didn't know at that point what funding opportunities would become available. In this case, as you're aware, the Public Works Trust Fund's gone away. A lot of the other funding's gone away. This is probably one of their best avenues of finding the monies to do this.
All right, I'm not disputing.
Right. And I guess there's about 120 or so customers. All 120 would have to stop paying their assessment in order for the city to have to dig into our coffers, and we would turn off the water for 120 customers. I can't picture 120 homes sitting with dry faucets and, empty toilets.
Not that, and as we've seen with the marijuana thing, there's a myriad of lawyers who would argue otherwise, and we'd have to turn it back off. So that's just not I just think, to me, this was framed to us one way, and now it's gone another way.
Yeah, and that was really, again, based on the funding. The advantage, if there is one, is that, as we found out today, because others, for a variety of reasons, didn't take their loans, instead of a $2.2 or $2.3 million loan, we're now talking about a $1.5 million loan. So that lowers their assessments considerably. So I think the odds of anyone not being able to pay also lessens as their monthly assessments go down. But it does carry it does carry a small risk that the entire 120 folks would say, we don't want water, and lawyer up and make the city pay, well, the city has to pay anyway, but make the city turn the water back on. I think the risk is exceedingly low to the city. I think this is probably their best chance of getting the money to improve the distribution system and to bring it up to city standards and for the city to get 120 new customers. But you're right, there is a potential, albeit in my mind, small downside risk.
Okay, well, for that reason, I'm not going to support it because I don't like seeing things presented as one way and then having them go 180 degrees the other way.
Yeah. And I'm not going to support it. When we bought the water rights, again, we didn't know where they were going to find the money or when. We could have gone for, and in fact, the contract doesn't contemplate it happening this quickly. We could have gone 5-10 years, and if we do turn this loan down, it may be 5 or 10 or more years until another funding source comes forward. But
and this is nothing against you folks.
Right.
This is something that was presented by the city. My disagreement is with the city, not with you guys.
I'm going to add a little clarity because I think there's some important statistics that might help Councilmember Wilson kind of feel about it. Right now, members of the Central City Water Association are self-assessing a construction assessment of $50 per month. Their average water bill plus additional consumption rates is about $50. They pay about $100 a month. The rate, if they take a loan at one, or if we accept this loan, if you decide that is the direction you wish to take, at $1.5 million, that's $58 roughly per month for 20 years that they'll be paying. So it's very close to what they're already voluntarily doing now to take care of those needed improvements for the water system in their neighborhoods. So I think it's a really positive demonstration that they've taken that step to basically start saving that money to pay for those improvements.
I'm not disputing that.
I just wanted to make sure that we've looked at those numbers pretty closely because I had concerns, too, about how is this going to affect mm-hmm. our customer base going forward with any possible, rate adjustments that may happen to happen 10 years from now. So.
Let's see, Councilmember Ingram, you had a comment?
Well, he just answered the majority of it. I was going to ask what the assessment was.
Okay.
And
with the Central City, what would you like to?
Here I am.
Sorry?
High school.
High school kids.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Stay here for another 5 minutes.
Can we take a quick 5-minute recess so the high school kids can leave, Council?
Sure.
Okay. Quick 5-minute recess. We'll come right back.
So,
why wasn't he in there when you were signing papers?
Because somebody kept him from doing it.
Really cool. Glow in the dark t-shirt.
So, Gary was still back there.
No, he went out.
See, Gary
he just grabbed his coat.
Okay, well, now we have to wait for.
No,
we did say 5 minutes.
Well,
you need
to take
it.
You did say 5 minutes.
Okay.
It's only been 3.
There's going to be a
I'm just saying.
But it was really cute. They do have some kind of dorky stuff on
there. It did.
But did,
it's up to you. You're the chairperson.
Okay. I don't think we have to wait.
Did you know that you could buy a real, honest-to-God meteorite for $22,000?
I can think of a lot of things to spend $22,000. Okay, let's get started. All right. I would like to give... Councilmember Ingham, did you have a comment beyond what you...
No, because I started to ask a question, but I realized that there was no possible way that could happen.
Good. I would like to give the Central City. You had a, would like to make a comment. But you have to come up to the mic, please.
I just wanted to explain that I feel that you feel like you've been misled.
Not by you.
Well, by all of us actually, because we came to the city and asked them to apply for this loan with us because we had a much better chance of getting it if the city went in on it with us. So
this has
changed since our first agreement with the city. So this, if you feel like you've been misled, it's because we didn't know anything back then. We didn't know this loan was going to even be available for us to apply for. And we have a much better chance of getting it if we apply for it with the city.
Were you here at the original meeting that we talked about?
I was not.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
That's where the confusion is, I think, on your part.
Okay.
We didn't ask you guys. It was the council people asking city staff if it defaulted, would we be liable? And at the time, we were told no. So it had nothing to do with you guys. It's the city staff that I had a problem with.
Okay.
Is that? You understand? Did
yeah, I understand now since okay. the city's applying for it okay. with us.
It's okay.
We were always going to do that.
It would be liable, but chances of that happening, you know, are really slim. We're paying the exact same amount.
What?
Yeah. I think is in the end, for the members, the total bill will actually be less than we're currently paying.
Can you state your name just for the record?
I'm Gary Hooker. I'm the president of the association.
And the other?
Karen Herman.
He's our secretary, Fraser.
Okay. Yeah. Just for the record, for the people listening to the tape.
Okay, and originally we had planned on applying for the loan funds on our own. In fact, we already got a grant on our own for some of the engineering costs. However, when we started getting into it, we just found out we'd have a better chance of obtaining a loan if we did or had the city work with the city, and the city is actually the one that made the application. And it would just improve the odds of getting a favorable loan. That was the whole idea. So, yes, it was kind of a difference from where we started, at least from the association standpoint. But in the end, the bottom line comes down to if a member, a resident, doesn't pay, it's the same as if they don't pay their current city of Ferndale water bill. The water gets turned off, and you move from there. Is there any other questions?
Any questions for Central City? Actually, any more questions at all about this? Sam, would you read the motion at this point?
Thank you.
Because
the motion was to accept staff recommendation.
Okay. Okay. Why are you putting your finger up?
I just want to speak if you're
allowed to. Oh, well, yes, we just can't wait.
I just wanted to clarify what the previous discussion was at your last meeting. On September 15th, 2014, I'm looking at the minutes, so I think maybe we've forgotten what was discussed, but we specifically were talking about jointly approving or applying for the loan. And then this is a specific paragraph, and I just want to read this. It says, there are questions related to the city being able to take over the system and the debt from this loan and how Ferndale would be able to assess former CCWA customers for an additional assessment they've agreed to in order to pay back the long-term debt to renovate its system city standards. That is when we spoke at that last meeting, what staff said was, we want to take this over. We want to assume the debt. The question is, can we manage the risk related to that debt?
Yes.
And that we needed to then speak with Joe, the attorney, as to whether or not we legally could basically utilize that assessment as the tool to ensure they paid that so we can pay back the loan. And so that is the question we have now since answered, and I think that's why staff is extremely confident that we can handle the risk. So I very much appreciate your concern, but I don't think that we misled you. I think we did directly talk about this at that meeting. It's in the minutes.
So will staff now actually move forward with the loan paperwork? You won't come back to council again if we vote yes. You're just going to go forward with the loan. They'll start doing the infrastructure they need to.
Yeah. Well, we will tell Department of Health that you have approved the acceptance of the loan.
Okay.
They'll start working up in probably in 4 months or so.
Oh.
I know it takes a while. We'll actually come back with a formal loan document for you to formally approve between the city and the. And I just want to add on here too is that ironically that when we were negotiating with Central City on the assumption of their system and the purchase of the water rights, my biggest concern. And we spent a lot of time going back and forth, was my reluctance of indebting, obligating the city to this. And it wasn't until we spoke to our water rights attorney who assured me that he's gone through this before and we would have the same lien ability for this loan against the individual homeowners as we would for any debt that would be levied against any of our existing customers. So based upon that, I at least got a better comfort level with our ability to shut off their water and lien the property if someone doesn't pay. And again, we're talking 120 folks. In order to really, I think, injure the city, all 120 would have to default, and I just don't ever see that happening.
So,
go ahead.
So I hear something that I like. If you, which I don't often do, but that's not a
this is a very exciting moment.
If say, customer A defaulted, we can take his portion of the loan and put a lien against his property.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we set up the water.
To me, that changes.
Well, now he's excited.
And it's interesting. Let's say that someone was, this is all hypothetical. Let's say someone was in the middle of selling their home. And so they get a signed purchase and sale agreement, and they say, hey, we're leaving here, we're going to stop paying our assessments. Well, the assessment is not against the person. The assessment is against the property. So if someone buggers out in the middle of the night and has a four-month water bill or a six-month water bill, the next person moves into the house, if they want water, they have to bring it up to current. It's not our problem. It's because it's levied against the property itself,
also,
not the individual.
Disclosed in the title stuff. The title report folks tell them that.
Yeah. Well, and in the closing, one of the things that the closing folks do is
they
go to the utilities to find out what's owed. So you would know that before you ever signed.
Yeah, we would actually get paid out of closing.
Correct.
Okay.
Paid
that changes things for me. As long as we have some. That the ratepayers aren't on the hook.
Exactly. In fact, as I mentioned, it wasn't until I obtained that warm, fuzzy feeling from our attorney, which is a strange thing to get from an attorney, but it wasn't until I felt comfortable that we were not obligating our ratepayers, as you said.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Passed.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
You may report real quick.
I know. Oh, it's good to be the queen for 45 seconds. Nice. It's a wee bit nippy. Okay.
We voted that only the mayor gets to pay an additional assessment.
I figured that would probably be wise.
$13,000 a month. It shouldn't be that.
Budget decision card.
Okay, we're down to budget decision card.
Do we have to
thank you for staying so long.
Up to you.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know. You know, people get cranky.
Is that we can't afford any of this.
Well, that's why I say, why do we have to do this when we don't have money for it?
Well, some of them actually.
Well,
some of them say yes. Does that mean that if what does it mean when it says yes, funding's available?
What it means is that we've identified a funding source. And you get to decide if that funding source is appropriate.
But that means we'd have to take something else out of that source, right? Because we don't have, we're $15,000 in the hole,
well,
so it's not like.
For example, the
solid waste is a lot of those funding sources.
Yeah, solid waste is a funding source.
No,
REIT is a funding source. Yeah, there's the ones.
Against it, it's one of them already.
Yeah, for the most part, the ones that say funding from ? Those could probably mostly be assigned to the general fund. But the other ones that actually say REIT 1 or solid waste or TBD, those are solid waste. I mean, those, according to Mark's projections, the funding is available in those funds. It does not come out of the general fund. And then the qualitative decision that you get to make is, do you want to spend some REIT monies repainting City Hall or solid waste monies,
how many of these did we go through already?
Just four.
Well, we have four no's that
four
are just
no's,
coming off.
20 of, I mean, the house at Washington Vista, we need to do something with that house. It looks terrible. The windows are broken. We have to do something with the house. So
asbestos shingles are falling off.
Yeah. And for that neighborhood, we have to do something with the house. So you say it could come from TBD because we'd knock it down in preparation for...
Preparation for
correct.
The roundabout.
Yes. Correct. Yeah. If it's on the list, if it's on the TBD list, Public Works Director?
Yes, it is. Isn't that roundabout still on TBD list?
Yes. It's still on the six-year... It's on the TBD list and the six-year tip.
So what do you have planned for...
Yeah.
What do you have planned for TBD next year? Because every year we've always had some new big road, but I don't... Do you have TBD funds that we could use next year, or are you planning something?
Well, at this point, we don't have. There's no big project that we're trying to match funds with. We don't have a whole lot of funds to go out and start any big capital.
And our next meeting, we are bringing an updated TBD project list.
Yeah.
Now that project list will probably be a multi-year project list.
So you want to save some of the 360 this year for something you want to do in 2016, is that what you're saying? Because theoretically we have $360,000 that we could use for road maintenance and
Or no?
Well, how about a tickler? How about that? So Washington Street's one that we have TBD funds that we would need in order to match some of the Safe Routes to School funds as well as some street funds.
And maybe so you'd be holding back some from 2015. I guess I'm trying to understand how much TBD money do you think we'd have available in 2015?
I can answer that.
Thank you, Mark.
$438,514. How's that? $438.
Sold one crappy house.
$438 by the end of 2015.
My opinion, we need to do away with get that house out of there.
Get that house out of there.
I agree.
I think that's one thing we really have to do.
Am I hearing yes?
Four votes.
Yes.
Was that a consensus?
I think it is.
Well, let's mark that approved.
It's hard. I actually am starting to get questions from the public about, well, if this is a nuisance, why isn't this a nuisance?
Well, that's my
thank
issue,
you very
too.
Much.
Yeah,
that's
that is
larger TV for City Hall? No.
No.
Yeah, we already worked that. Actually, moving up, how about the repaint for the out of REIT funds?
If we got enough REIT funds, we should just do it.
I think and we should repaint.
I think we already said that.
Yeah. Okay.
Not.
Did we?
Yeah, you
should.
Yes.
Should not.
Yes.
Should.
Okay.
Should.
Should repaint.
Okay.
Yes.
Wonderful.
But we're going over these for the second time tonight, and this.
Actually, not
right.
No, not those.
Well, we're actually saying yes and
we're
no.
Really supported
it. What about the nonprofit? That's the number one on the list.
We're going to wait.
We're trying to avoid the inevitable.
Okay. We're going to roll on the yes.
The annual sidewalk replacement, is that? So that's
well,
something.
Can we stay in order so I'm not jumping all over the damn
table? I'm so sorry. I apologize. So the next one is community. Community.
Mr. Mayor, would you bring us to order?
Actually, why don't you take control?
Half FTE code enforcement officer.
All right, so
I don't know.
We asbestos removal, we're okay. We nixed the large TV, community development building, 0.5 FTE code enforcement.
Yes.
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 All right.
Yes.
Okay, police.
Now, are we going to have to raise solid waste?
Yes.
Page 7 of your document shows a pretty substantial cash balance in solid waste, so we can take these.
There's several other things on here that say solid waste. I just don't want us to start approving things and then find out we're going to have to raise solid waste tax.
Well, shouldn't when we get to it, let's move along.
Page 7 doesn't have any rate increases in it for several reasons.
Okay, let's get into...
So was that a yes, then?
Yes.
Okay.
Are we jumping into the discussion on police vehicles? Because that's a big discussion.
We had another day.
We had two on the list that are exceeding 100,000. I don't agree with the 80,000, but the 100, I'm kind of saying yes, having driven those. What are we looking at if we did two, Mark? And that would be out of...
Do we want to bring the chief up involved in this discussion or no?
Well, you know, we'll get through tonight.
Well, the answer is I programmed one police car out of solid waste. $40,000. That can
and then
it.
Another out of reserves?
I don't know where the other one might come.
Well, I mean, it could. I'm
could
not asking.
I thought it might come out of property tax, but that's not happening.
No.
We're saving that.
Yeah, we were trying to carve out, and Mark and I sat down and tried to figure out, okay, if we wanted to buy one car a year every year, just really kind of get on a rotation, because obviously the Stone Arden grants, we were getting multiple cars, and that's gone away. So we were trying to think, okay, could solid waste handle one car per year? And Mark rolled it into the numbers, and it looks like it can. Now, could we probably squeeze two next year and then one after that every year? Probably. But the issue is, you know, is 100,000 a magic number? Is 80,000 miles is a magic number? Is 120,000 a magic number? Part of it is the mechanical aspects of it. Part of it is the aesthetics. The cars just start falling apart after, you know, that many miles?
That's a good question because that's yet to be seen. The Crown Victorias lasted forever. However, they don't make those anymore. Yeah. And now we have those new little SUV-looking things with six cylinders in them, not big, nice Detroit V8s.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how long they're going to last?
I like
but
the
most
one
of our stuff is aging Crown Vics that don't...
I like the one per year. I like the one per year. That's doable.
Yeah, you can plan on it. Maybe it would be appropriate to have the chief because he's the one that's going to have to manage his fleet. I mean, is it conceivable that with a one per year obligation that he could manage the fleet and live on one car every year?
Well, here's my problem here. If you're going to buy one car per year, and you've got several patrol vehicles that are currently at the 80,000 mark, and you're going to replace one per year, in 8 years, you're going to have a couple of cruisers that are out there pushing 200,000 miles.
Yeah.
But do we have 80,000 a year to do two per year?
Yeah.
Probably could squeeze two for next year.
Maybe this is just a 2015 decision.
Yeah.
Let's worry about this year, and next year we can have that fight later.
So you're thinking we can squeeze two for...
We can squeeze two
next year.
Two in 2015.
Donut guys.
Okay, two in 15, we're okay?
I'm saying yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot of money.
If we get two out this
year. All right. So do we want to bring the chief up and talk about the LexiPol policy
manual? Before we say yes on the two, that's coming out of solid waste?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now that's $100,000 out of solid waste with this code enforcement, 80 plus...
Well, we have to do a code enforcement because we keep passing these rules and nobody enforces them.
I'm not opposed to that. I'm just trying to keep track of the math. We're up to $100,000.
Okay, so we're at the two vehicles. Do we want to bring the chief up and talk about the LexiPol policy manual and updates?
No, because then he'll get four vehicles and this LexiPol.
It has no funding source.
Okay. Okay, we're striking that?
Yeah, I think we have to.
Okay, Public Works, Stormwater Inspection Tech.
Oof.
It's already in the budget.
It's already a yes.
That one's okay.
That's a yes.
Okay.
It's already in there.
It was in the budget.
It is.
Yeah. All right.
Thornton Overpass.
Yeah. Thornton Overpass.
Yeah, there's funding for the
early additional funding.
Yes.
So we're gonna spend $90,000 on a road we're going to build someday, but we're not gonna do any road maintenance.
Yep.
The $90,000 is just to continue design.
I know, but our road maintenance still gonna be zero?
It also comes from specific funding that we can't use for maintenance, unfortunately.
Seriously?
It's Samson Road.
So this is not coming from TBD.
True. It's sitting in the Thornton Construction Fund.
Okay. Then I would draw that complaint.
Okay, facilities, building maintenance.
That's, if you look at page 7 of the sticker handout, the solid waste tax, I kind of took a little initiative and laid that in already as covered by solid waste for the $85,000. Solid waste can stand it.
But we just upped the police car from 40 to 80, so.
Yeah, look at the cash balance at the bottom of page 7. There's a healthy cash balance at the end of each year for the next several years.
And the facilities maintenance is a one-time cost. And I think it is important to remember that, you know, police cars are, at least right now, we're talking about something that's ongoing. It's an annual, just like some of the other folks, code enforcement. This is a one-time expenditure, which in some ways does kind of change the complexity of the decision.
What is our balance for solid waste? I apologize.
Page 7.
Can you pull up page 7?
Yeah.
That will tell you the balance on the bottom row.
So for the end of 2014, $472,000. For the end of 15, assuming that we do, at this point it was just one police car, but if we do the facility maintenance, then it's $325,000 at the end of 15.
Oh, so you already put that in there then?
Yes, I did.
So we just have to take the $100,000 out for the two cars?
And just another 40, because one of the cars is already in there.
Okay. Is the code enforcement in there?
No, but it's a minor.
So that's 50?
Yeah, that's what.
Build facilities maintenance? Yes or no?
Is that here yet?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think yes.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Second half field house, we've already eliminated.
Eliminated
City that. Hall Pizza Annex cost building analysis.
Always.
Is it going to really cost $8,000 to have somebody tell us?
I mean, what is Chad? It going to buy us? Chaz, what $8,000 is going to buy us?
All right, so $8,000 was basically doing an analysis on if we were going to keep one building out of two, this building or the Pizza Annex, which one's in worse shape? Which one's in better shape? How much is it going to cost to maintain it? That was the whole $8,000 was to analyze that to get you guys a real solid answer to that question.
And it's really going to cost $8,000.
You don't think our city inspector
totally,
and Bo...
I had to pick a rough number based on what I've dealt with before with structural engineers because they'll have to be a pretty thorough inspection of the HVAC, the electrical, and structural components.
So
because both buildings have had a rough basic evaluation. And there were some things that we need to look at.
But there's no money to do either one anyway, right? There's no money to fix the Pizza Annex or
Unless we sold.
Unless you sold one and fixed.
No, these are basically planning dollars. I'm trying to put some money out there so you guys can not blow money on a decision that wasn't well vetted.
Yeah, the problem is we haven't been able to give you some of these answers.
Given that, I would say that should be a yes.
We have like a home grade inspection level right now for this building and that building, and I wanted to take that up one more notch to help you guys make better decisions. It's up to you if you want me to spend the time. I thought it was a good decision.
John?
I would like to know what we reasonably think we can get for this. We've got some numbers floating. And I'd like to know what it would take to fix the annex into Cal's Chambers. I really think we need to leave this area and hook up over there. I think that's where our government center is. I'm not really interested in finding out what it costs to fix this building.
I think it's more like, can the pizza annex be fixed? And if it can be fixed, how much? What could we get for this?
And that's exactly the information we hope
for. Well, yeah, we don't need to really have an analysis of this building. That's I kind of saying. Agree with Councilman Munson, okay. Because we need to be out of here.
Unless, of course, the pizza annex can't be fixed. And then we'd have to ask
Well, maybe it would be appropriate then to take a two-prong approach. Have Chad direct his attention to the pizza annex first.
Yeah.
Get the answer to your question, is it worth saving? And then use that answer to say, okay, now do we look at the pizza at this building here?
Because if it's not worth saving, then we're
stuck
with this.
Or get an appraisal of this
building. Exactly.
Yeah. Actual appraisal.
Yeah.
John?
I imagine that would then be the courthouse, too, of the whole package.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Council court.
I'm not good at visualizing. I mean, this is so big a room. That needs to be bigger. It needs to be somewhat significantly bigger.
Not really.
I'm not sure. I don't know if it really.
Okay, but can you try
I think if we reconfigure it right now, there that the old pizza kitchen is is where we had the storage. If you open that whole space up, I think that's it. It's a pretty large building.
It's 40 by 60. I measured it, but
and what's this? This is
not 20 by 40.
Yes, but please try to spend less than $8,000.
Yeah.
If you can.
But we need
I understand.
Okay, so we're moving forward on that one.
Did I hear a yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Chad's clear on what he's supposed to do.
An altered yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Good.
annual sidewalk replacement?
Not at this time.
Nope.
No funding.
10-yard dump truck?
No. Oof. No. Sorry, sweetie. So can he pickup truck? Can he come back if he finds something for like $45,000?
I think that's what you hope to do. Is maybe you mentioned the county surplusing or?
Yeah, as far as the 10-yarders go, I mean, we've done it before. We'll do it again. I mean, we can certainly look for surplus vehicles. The dump truck, for example, is just one that is. I mean, we're pushing 30 years. It's just getting really expensive to own.
Yeah.
At some point, there's danger involved with the condition.
So that's a
maybe. We have a good mechanic, but
that's a maybe.
I would like to come back. Maybe come back to that. Let me. I'm still doing some research on that.
If you can find something. Come back.
Okay. I certainly will do my best.
Pickup trucks.
And on the pickup trucks, Bo found out used truck, that Toyota truck.
Somebody
found it. Bo was driving it for a while.
David Carr's pretty good at finding.
Well, do we want the Ford pickup trucks to also be in? Maybe, depending on what we can find.
There is funding.
Those are based on those values were based on like the state contract.
Like the last Dodge.
So
Dodge is pretty good price, 4-wheel drive. Yeah.
Are these like GSA prices or is that?
Yeah.
What you, yeah.
Okay. Didn't we just buy one for the storm?
Yeah, we bought one. Yeah, years ago.
There was grant money for that.
Okay, but so then this can't come out of storm.
Well, it would be shared among the four funds: water, sewer, storm, street.
One of them is for that. We just bought the storm employee a truck. Who else are we buying a truck for?
Storm replacements, right, Chad?
Yeah, several of these, and I outlined them in the decision cards. Yeah. They were pretty specific on age. Most of it was age. Three of these trucks were.
Okay.
The storm truck we have not.
Pardon me?
Similar to the police vehicles, it's an age and mileage issue.
Can we afford four, though?
No, I
well, the truck, I think.
With English today, swear to God.
The truck I think you're thinking of, Councilman Wilson, is.
I can.
I know you can.
just say, he wants to talk.
Okay. It's going to be worse. Probably not going to like.
I think quiet, Keith wants to talk.
In English.
If we bought a truck for the new stormwater person, do we have another stormwater truck that is already out?
I'll answer that. The truck that was purchased was for our general inspector, Larry. and he utilizes that on a regular basis. And it was, as part of that was funded from stormwater funds, to my knowledge. The half FTE that we are looking at adding that we just talked about, which is the new stormwater tech, will be doing a whole bevy of inspections that we are lagging behind on that are stormwater specific.
Okay, so the guy that's got the truck that we paid for storm, he's also working in storm?
He's doing more than. He also does our general civil inspections, pavement, as well as utility inspections.
What I'm seeing here is we're using the storm fund for like a slush fund, and it's irritating me to no end. We got some of the dams, like Mark and I discussed this, and we have our differences of opinion. Street sweepers, they're going to come out in 2017. They're going to come out of, I think it's coming out of storm now.
It cleans the streets so it doesn't go into the storms.
That's what he said.
Well, he's right.
I believe that is right.
He is right.
And before we had that, what did they do then?
We just killed the salmon.
Didn't have an NPDES permit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
They didn't make us do it.
If it makes you feel any better, in Bellingham, I was a sponsor for at least funding 50% of their sweeping program to the stormwater fund. As soon as they
I wouldn't have a problem with half, but it seems we're using it for lots of things, and I'm watching it.
Well, now again, I'm thinking that maybe we don't do new trucks. Maybe Chad brings us one truck at a time.
Well,
and
kind of Chad, you can hear us. It's always sensitive to us. As inspectors always want trucks.
Everybody always wants their own
car. Yeah, use an old police car and stuff.
Well, we've increased that fleet, too, haven't we? We used to have, like, one or two, and now we've probably got five or six. Or how many old cop cars we got out there?
Do you drive the trucks home so you'll feel safer?
Three.
Yeah, we have three at City Hall now.
Well, but on a serious vein, I mean, some of this stuff that some of these people do, they really don't need a pickup for. And there's absolutely no sense in my mind why in the world we can't, as a city, look into leasing for an advertised $190 a month a couple of Leafs. Plug them out at City Hall and save the frickin' gas. I mean, 90 miles, what's your range?
We could get anywhere in the city of Ferndale. I think that that's a
I mean, all, and pretty option. Much and pretty much all day long.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's just
they eat 4-wheel drives.
This is not for admin staff.
For
no, but
this section, you
but I mean,
you're going to neighborhoods to look upon.
We got a buildings guy that comes out and inspects our buildings that in our neighborhood that they're building houses. He doesn't need that big truck. He needs his thing, his briefcase, his laptop, and a Leaf. And if he wants to, he can charge at my house. I mean, it's just
ship that vehicle over to public works.
I mean, it just makes no sense at all to me to be buying gas-burning vehicles when we can save all that, cut our gas costs back, and get a couple of Leafs and let our inspectors and stuff run around in those.
They do carry a certain amount of testing equipment, so I just want to.
Yeah, but it can fit in a Leaf, I guarantee you.
I've driven a Prius around for a long time when I was in Bellingham, and it doesn't take much to fill up a Prius, just to give you perspective, my perspective. When I was functioning as
if he's got to carry some test equipment that's that large, it's probably not on a daily basis. Borrow a pickup truck. Give the other guy the Leaf for the day.
Well, Chad, you have directions, so why don't you come back with an analyze?
I'm happy to look at alternatives.
Analyze.
Just talk,
a few of these, three out of four of these were replacements, so there was really only one new add, if you will, to the fleet. The others were trucks that were 10 years or older that we were wanting to replace.
Okay, so we're going to come back with the trucks.
Okay, we'll
come back. Mower.
You can do solid.
I was going to say, the mower and the plate compactor is really small dollars. I mean, not that it doesn't add up.
Just get it.
What are you going to do without?
Yeah.
Yes on the mower.
Yes on the mower and the plate compactor.
Yeah. Yeah. Find a way to pay for them.
All right.
So yes on those last two?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, go back. Yeah.
No.
Oh, we're not. Well,
that's a clear victory.
No, we are not talking about spending any money on the plate.
You have as much.
Okay, mayor comments. The only thing is, the next council meeting will be at committee meetings because we're moving that to Monday, but I won't be at the council meeting. So.
You won't be what?
I will not be at the next council meeting.
On December 1st.
Correct.
You mean when we're adopting the budget?
No,
that's our film
in here.
No, not this
one. I just don't want
any kind of. Not an option.
Anyway, that's it for mayor comments.
Did you go to New York City?
Yeah.
So we're punting on the time?
Till next time.
Just so the committee meeting is not going to be on the 26th.
What's that?
When you won't be here, we're going to talk about nonprofits next time.
Okay, council report. Councilperson Olson.
I would like to thank Councilman Mutchler for his outstanding job on the gas tax thing, which went down in flames.
The fact that he
didn't have to throw mud and sling, I won't use that word that I was going to use, but I was very disappointed with the opposition and their little crybaby antics.
Yeah, it would have helped if we'd gotten that incredible information.
One that I asked about never got an answer.
They'll all be separate from now on.
Councilperson Mutchler.
I'm going to go continue with Councilmember Hall. Thank you, Keith. I'm hoping Sam can detect sarcasm in the minutes, because this has come up really bad if you don't realize it's sarcasm. It's not sour grapes. But I was figuring out during the Thornton thing that gas tax could have paid for a quarter or a third of that Thornton overpass over 20 years. Mark can check that out. And I will also note that I was actually going to ask the mayor. I'm sure that people have been banging on your doors and calling up demanding the car caps, because I kept hearing, we'd rather have car taps. So you got some emails, some people come to you?
No.
I'm shocked because they sounded so excited about car taps.
I think the young guy is probably, he's probably forming that. He hasn't.
Anyway, it was fun.
The young guy.
He doesn't even live here.
Yeah. Any other?
Oh, by the way, do not underestimate the Goldsmith sign machine. Yeah, the sign machine. That was really something, man. They were following me around. I put a little blue spine up.
I saw it.
I go, okay, that's pretty cool. Next day, you were following them around, weren't you? There was a yellow sign.
I got all the spare time.
Carol actually has something to share.
Councilperson Burch.
On Wednesday, this week at 6 p.m., there's going to be a brainstorming meeting for the Ferndale Public Market to see what we can come up with ideas to completely turn it around to the positive. So,
are we
it's
still
be
meeting?
Right here.
Oh, here.
Right here at 6 o'clock.
Very cool.
And I would appreciate support from everybody here that can make it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're going to have it over.
Any other council reports? No, seeing none. Finance director, don't ask about the top of the list.
Nothing further.
City administrator.
Nothing.
Community development director.
Nothing.
And city administrator, you're out of town Wednesday and Thursday?
No, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Second Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay, fine.
Fine.
Clark?
Yes, so I just wanted to see that there was a general consent to move the committee meetings to Monday. For clarification, the planning and land use committee meeting will be canceled the next committees. There is nothing for that agenda. Councilmember Olson couldn't make Monday, but your committee's canceled. So everyone else seemed to prefer Monday.
This Monday.
Monday, November 24th.
So next, this coming Monday, then?
No.
Yeah.
Next Monday.
Monday, November 24th.
Next Monday.
Yeah. And that was, it was probably going to be difficult for everybody. I mean, staff, there's going to be a lot of staff out. Council's out on that Wednesday. So thank you very much for doing that, Will.
Holidays. Nobody works.
They'll start at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. They will start at 8 a.m. or they will start
It'll probably be like, Thanksgiving Eve. They'll start quitting at 12 o'clock there, like they do with Christmas Eve.
Jen didn't get to speak.
What?
Okay.
Huh? Move I'm not adjourned. To you yet.
Jen didn't get to speak.
He's passed. He's
public
passed.
Work?
Boy, it's
nothing.
Just...
Okay.
Move
to adjourn.
Jenny Welters, our planning coordinator, gave birth on Friday to a happy, healthy baby boy named Gage. So everybody's good.
Wow. Cool. Move to adjourn.
Sort of correlation with her having a baby, you having a puppy, or what?
Move to adjourn.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Move to adjourn.